and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. All right, okay, here we go. Wednesday, hump day. Man, I know what it means now. I know what it means. I say this a lot on the air because you're talking to a guy, Mark Riley's over there, by the way.
Hey!
You're talking to a guy who I was a comic for years, right? This morning stuff, just being employed is a new world to me on some level, on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
So this hump day thing, this Wednesday thing, I got full 8 hours of sleep last night, all right? You know what? I feel a little funky.
Why?
Because I think I do better with the 5 hours or the 4 hours. You know what I mean? I don't know. I feel good. I'm happy to be here. But I feel a little like, I feel like I've just been in a very long pillow fight.
Now, when you did stand up,
yeah.
You were essentially coming in the house about now. Is that it?
No. It's not like that. I mean, you know,
because I used to, and really, I wasn't a comic.
But there were more things to do back in the day till 6
right.
in the morning.
You're right.
But there's some cats, you know, that do the business, you know, one kind or another, you know, whether it's the substance business or the sex business, you know what I mean?
Well, party business.
But I'm no youngster anymore, my friend.
Neither am I.
I'm not that old. I
mean, thank you very much.
But I'm 40.
What?
Yeah, 40. I'm 40 years
old. With that haircut, you're 40?
No. Oh, damn.
I'm only kidding.
Between you and my mom taking shots at me yesterday.
Now, yeah, tell us about this, man. Tell us
hilarious.
About this thing with your mom.
It's hilarious.
She can hear you. She
finally,
can hear us now.
Finally, we're going out to Florida on WINZ, all right? So my mom, I call my mom. I didn't get the call that, hey, I listened to you. That was great. No. I called down there. I talked to her boyfriend, who's like a hep cat. The guy who's living with my mom, John, he's like, he talks in jazz talk. He's like, hey, man, that was pretty hep. I heard you yesterday chirping away on the radio. That was great. Bebop, a doo boop, bop, bop. You know,
uh-huh.
He's like a jazz dude.
Got a little,
you know?
Charlie Parker in the background.
Yeah, he does. Always. There's always jazz going on in my mom's house. Driving my mom crazy, but John digs it. So every time, he's always bouncing around the house doing stuff to the jazz. You know what I mean? He's changing light fixtures. He's putting things on the wall. He's like, bebop, bop, a doo bop. Look at me hammering away.
Uh-oh.
And then my mom, So my mom calls finally. She goes, wasn't there a lady on with you? And I'm like, yes, Sue has moved on to do some corresponding work. She's going to be a reporter in the field for Air America. And what about the other guy? And I'm like, yeah, that's Mark Riley. He's like, she says, well, you seem to be talking an awful lot. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Here?
And then she goes, I'm very proud of you. All right, so I got to take two shots. Like, poof, poof, good job. Like, why am I bleeding?
Wait a minute, I don't understand something.
Yeah.
You spoke to the hep cat.
Yeah, but then my mom called later. Yeah.
But why didn't she just, why didn't you just pass the phone over?
Okay, she was out, you know, my mom's out at Pilates, you know, she's out running, she's got dogs.
Doing some one-on-one basketball training.
She does a lot of stuff. My mom gets up at like, you know, 4 a.m. to walk her 2 dogs or 3 dogs or however many there are down there. I don't even know right now.
Uh-oh.
And then she goes to Pilates, and then she goes running, and then she goes, I don't know, and she's running around selling real estate. You know, I love my mom, you know, but I had to take 2 pops before I got the, love, you know what I mean? It's like it was always sort of like that.
Why, but you got back up, didn't you?
Yeah, I always do. Yeah, it's the story of my life. And then I went running yesterday.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Finally, you know, I made the long walk a block to the gym. Man, that is the longest block that I've ever had to walk. Some days I just can't deal, and I get all tied into this tiger story. I'm like, you know, the world is ending, right? But I'm on the treadmill watching the story about the guy who used to play Tarzan. He's got a pet tiger that got out, right? The tiger's got no claws. It's out in Florida somewhere. Like,
yeah.
You know, like that's, you know, it's weird for Florida. That's not even unusual. There's a tiger loose. Yeah, well, it's Florida, you know. But
and they sealed off the perimeter or something. I saw that story. The guy played Tarzan in the 60s, right?
Yeah, right. And he got attached to this tiger, and he's got a permit for the tiger. He's got other cats and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, the people of Florida were trying to help out. One woman throws a live pig in her trunk and says, "You can take this and use it for bait." Only in Florida, like, here, take this pig and get it. You know,
yeah.
It's like, where'd you come from? And then, you know, there's the other woman that they show on there on the CNN. She's got the headband on. She's like 60. She's like, I've dealt with these cats all the time. They've always been very nice. I don't think that cat would hurt anybody. So I'm all locked into this story thinking they're going to resolve this. They're going to pop it with a tranquilizer dart and everything's going to be okay. The target's going to be okay. And I'm listening on the way to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening to the news station, whatever. I can't remember. You know, one of them. Uh-huh. And just really quickly, the story is they killed a tiger in Florida. I'm like, I was so invested in this clawless tiger out there in the Everglades, you know, trying to fend for itself without claws. And they just shoot it. They just shoot the tiger.
They just shot no tranquilizer?
No. What happened to the tranquilizer dart? Who got trigger happy and nailed the tiger? Who freaked out?
So now the tiger is with Butch the cat.
Yeah, probably hanging out because Butch is,
in feline heaven.
Butch is cool. But then I heard the other story about Siegfried and Roy, that actually that tiger was trying to save Roy.
Save Roy, yeah.
Did you hear that too?
Yeah, I heard that story, and it turned out he had a it wasn't the mauling that really...
Right, the cat was sensitive to him. He was having a stroke on stage,
I guess,
and he fell, apparently.
And the cat was like, let me try and resuscitate him.
It was actually trying to take him to the hospital to get...
Call an ambulance!
That's a trained tiger, man. The tiger was trying to take him to the Vegas hospital, and they, you know, accidentally, you know, mauled his face.
Oh, there is a hospital in Vegas. With slots.
Yeah, you know, but you know, it's hit or miss there. You know what I mean? They... Right. Speaking of taking some shots,
well,
how's that for a segue? What's with Bush taking hits at our guy Kerry? I mean, you know... Can Bush is could the Republican voters? I listened to this tape that we had of Bush giving this speech, and they're all excited and worked up. Are there really people that are that unclear about how politics works? Because I was talking to my buddy Louis yesterday. He seems to believe, Louis C.K., brilliant comic, great guy, good friend of mine for years. He seems to believe that there are people that see senators and congressmen on CNN, you know, speaking on CNN about this or that or the other thing, and that's the only place they know them from. They don't understand how the government works. This, like, Senator Roberts is just, he's that guy on CNN. Not a senator, not from a state, not aware of
how... Not even an elected official.
Yeah, not aware of how the political system works, just
a guy on CNN.
A media guy.
Oh, okay.
And I think that he might be right, and it's very frightening.
Well, wait a minute. But see, now, that has implications. That has direct implications for you. Because you've been on Conan, you've been on McEnroe. I know this because of my wife.
A lot of people don't know I'm a senator.
Yeah,
you know that because of your wife.
Yeah. You're just going to be the guy on TV.
Right. Well, that's fine because I am just a guy on TV.
No, but you're a guy on radio too.
Well, that's fine too. But I'm, you know, they should know if a senator is a senator and what that means. Because like what I'm saying is that this Bush rally where you know he's taking shots at Kerry. Apparently, a lot of the people that are applauding Bush don't understand how the Senate works.
Well, you know, they're from the upper peninsula in Michigan, and I'm not going to say anything bad about the people of the upper peninsula.
We got a lot of listeners out there,
I know we do. And I don't want to bad, because I know we do have some truckers from Michigan. But, you know, the amazing thing to me was there was, in reading some of the background on this, the biggest town in the entire upper peninsula in Michigan is like 20,000 people, which is Marquette, which is where Bush was yesterday.
Oh, I see. So you're saying that it's sort of like an isolated situation.
Well, yeah, it's a rural conservative part of Michigan.
Okay, the people that leave, they leave for a reason, and the people that are still there all think the same way.
I'm generalizing,
but you
we don't want to stereotype everyone from the upper peninsula, but it is generally a conservative place. And what it does, Mark, is show that Bush is now falling into a kind of repetitive pattern. He's speaking to the converted.
Yeah, no new information.
No, he's trying to shore up that conservative base that his pollsters, I'm sure, have been telling him and his advisors may be eroding just a little bit. So he's going, he's speaking to them. And, you know, he's been trying to hit a number of different themes when he's speaking to these conservative audiences.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I find fascinating was that whole story last Thursday about the fundraiser here in New York now has crept into Bush's rhetoric about, you know, how people are out of touch and mainstream values, et cetera, et cetera. But the one that I think is most irritating, because there's so much direct evidence to refute it, factual evidence, is the whole idea of supporting the troops. Bush equates a vote on Iraq funding, that $87 billion funding that Kerry and Edwards voted against.
Right.
He equates that to supporting the troops. Here's our president.
This is an important vote. In the United States Senate, only a small, out-of-the-mainstream majority voted against the legislation. And two of those 12 senators are my opponent and his running mate.
Now, Out of the mainstream majority. Now, here's the thing that is fascinating about this. There is so much factual evidence that this administration has not, in fact, supported the troops. Military salary survey last year says a soldier's starting salary isn't much more than that of a theater usher, a child care worker, and crossing guards. Now, not to knock any of those people, because we need all of them. But you see that the military isn't held in that high a regard if the pay is, in fact, that low.
How about on equipment, too?
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah, that was the whole issue.
12% of the soldiers in Iraq were equipped with body armor, were equipped, and only 500 Humvees were fortified when the war began.
That's why there were people all over the country taking up collections of old bulletproof
flak jackets,
to send over there to put on the floors of these Humvees, to offer some kind of protection against these roadside bombs, the latest of which happened right near the Green Zone, by the way, killed, I believe, 10 people.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, what we're talking about here is a president who, again, I believe is desperate, who is desperate to shore up the base of people. That's what this whole gay marriage thing is about. Don't try and fool people, or don't be fooled, I should say, to people, with this whole idea that they're actually talking about something when they get into these kinds of debates.
Yeah, they're trying to find the people that are just, you know, the really narrow-minded, focused, you know, ultra-right people, because fiscal conservatives are bailing on them.
Yeah.
You know, because he does not represent the fiscal conservatives. He represents, you know, this weird, narrow-minded people that will call the facts spin.
There you go.
You know what I mean? I didn't mean to interrupt you. We're going to talk more about this stuff, about Bush's treatment of veterans. I mean, there's some stats there.
Some ugliness.
And also, we've got Stephen Cook, who's going to be up with the Salon.com story of the day about Iraq. A lot more stuff. Stay tuned on Air America.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, a complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
We
Wednesday, it's 21 past the hour. This is Morning's Edition. Mark Riley's over there.
Hey.
I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio. On the phone, a next generation fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's our Salon.com article of the day author, writer of that piece, talking about the obstacles that lie ahead for the U.S. And the, in Iraq. He's on the phone from Washington, D.C. Stephen Cook, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So, look, I'm seeing reports from CNN already implying that, you know, the Iraqi security forces have got everything under control. I mean, what's going on over there?
Well, you guys...
It's a lie, right?
Well, I don't know if it's a lie, but you guys have the advantage of having been up earlier than I have. I'm still lying in bed, but I haven't seen those CNN reports.
No, it was just a piece that, you know, it just seems that the tone is changing to where, you know, like the Americans are really handing over power, and there are these Iraqi squads that are out in the field without Americans, you know, doing the job of managing the insurgencies. And what I want to know is what problems still loom large for the Bush administration in rebuilding Iraq and the Americans?
Well, I think that the main problem is that going to be that insurgency, and that insurgency is going to continue. I don't know of any kind of credible military analyst out there who believes that the Iraqis at this stage can handle their own security situation.
And
therefore, American troops are going to be there for quite some time.
And what do you find the reasons are? Are the reasons still revolving around their ability to work under American troops?
Well, the reasons are that they haven't been trained. They don't have the training. These are people who have, since the United States made the decision to disband the Iraqi army, it embittered so many of those people. So now what we're doing, we're taking people who have no military training whatsoever, I refer to them as tea boys in uniform, and putting them out there in the field to deal with military professionals. I mean, the insurgency, the Fedayeen and Saddam, the remnants of the Republican Guard and the Special Republican Guard, these are professional military officers with real military training. So these new Iraqi security forces have minimal training, minimal equipment, and they're being thrown out there, and they just don't have the capacity to deal with it.
Stephen Cook is a Next Generation Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Stephen, let me ask you, there seems to be, I mean, if you talk about how this is going to be kept stable on any level, a lot of people seem to look at the experience of Egypt under Hosni Mubarak. Now, you know, if you look closely at that history, Mubarak kind of conducted his own private, or not even private, a government jihad against insurgents that was pretty bloody. Can that be avoided in Iraq?
Well, you're quite right, and it's a good point to make about the analogy about Egypt. In between 1992 and 1997, the Egyptians engaged in a widespread crackdown against their own homegrown Islamist movements. The problem with that is that it actually scattered a lot of these people who escaped from Egypt, and they became the superstars of the international terrorism movement, people like Ayman Zawahiri, Mohammed Atta, a whole host of Egyptians who are at the leadership positions in Al-Qaeda. The danger that we risk in Iraq is the same type of thing happening, that Iraq has now become the central front in the war on terrorism. It wasn't before the war, but now it is. So what you have is you have this homegrown insurgency, you have foreign jihadis coming to Iraq and are intent on taking on the United States and the United States' political project in Iraq. So I think what you're going to find is the United States standing shoulder to shoulder with Iyad Alawi and President Ghazi al-Yawar and saying to them, whatever means necessary, and that's what we said to Hosni Mubarak, whatever means necessary to get this situation under control and stable. Now, the difference between Egypt and Iraq right now, of course, is that Egypt has well-developed security services, a formidable army, a formidable intelligence service. Iraq doesn't have that kind of thing, so they're basically relying on the United States.
So, but isn't it sort of a catch-22, the fact that, you know, our presence there is going to fuel the insurgency, and there are still parts of Iraq that are inaccessible because of the insurgency and because of the tribal dynamics of the regions?
That's exactly the case. We are caught in a terrible catch-22. I can't think of a catch-22 that isn't terrible, actually, but a terrible situation in which the United States needs to remain in Iraq because the Iraqis can't handle the insurgency. But the longer that the United States remains in Iraq, it fuels the insurgency and delegitimizes any government that's in place there. So it seems to me that there's a dynamic going on that makes it more and more difficult this time passes for the United States to leave, because we can't leave a government, an unstable government that has no popular support whatsoever. But the longer we stay, we erode that support that any government may have.
Huh.
Stephen Cook, let's talk for a moment about something that doesn't get talked about a great deal, and that is the problem between the Kurds and the Shiites. This is an issue that I think has taken on a new dynamic since Cy Hirsch wrote a piece in The New Yorker saying that the Israelis are actually training Kurdish militia. Could this erupt into a civil war, no matter what else happens with the government there?
Well, let me just say that the Israeli motivation for being in northern Iraq is because they are concerned about Iran and what the situation might be in Iran, and they're also concerned about a chaotic Iraq, and they're not have kind of influence to be able to influence the situation there.
So you're saying they're concerned about Iran's alignment with Iraq?
Well, there's this now new strange kind of alliance in the Middle East between the Turks, the Iranians, and the Syrians over Kurdish demands for greater cultural autonomy and even independence.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so the Israelis feel that they need to get in there. And in the springtime, there were some disturbances in Syria, in the Kurdish areas of Syria, and Cy Hirsch's piece raises the question whether there was Israeli involvement in that as well. But back to the point of your question, the Kurdish situation is interesting because, as I implied before, it has all kinds of regional implications. But internally to Iraq, there seems to be these irreconcilable political demands between the Kurds and the Shia.
Mm-hmm.
The Shia hold the demographic weight in the country, and that's why Ayatollah Ali Sistani, the most on-message politician I can think of, has demanded direct elections. He's all about direct elections, because he knows once they get to those direct elections, the political power will shift clearly into the hands of the Shia and the Shia politicians. The Kurds are concerned that with that shift, all that they have fought for and all that they have suffered all these years will be lost, because the Shia, they distrust what the Shia's political plans are for Iraq. So the Kurds have said,
right,
if we are going to be in a non-democratic situation,
yeah,
if the Shia are going to want to establish a theocracy, we're going to walk.
We got to go, Stephen. Thank you. Very informative and troubling. I appreciate your time.
No problem.
You take care, Stephen. Still to come, the presidential palm pilot, Ditka for Senate, plus Senate Republicans can't agree on gay marriage, and the all-important liberal agenda. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Iraq's interim prime minister is vowing to crush the terrorists responsible for a car bombing that killed 10 people and wounded at least 40 in Baghdad today, including a U.S. soldier. Interim Prime Minister Iyad Alawi assessed the damage, saying the bombing was in retaliation for the arrest of terrorist suspects. Philippines says it is withdrawing its tiny peacekeeping contingent from Iraq early to meet the demand of kidnappers threatening to kill one of their nationals. That hostage has reportedly been set free and is said to be safe. New government estimates suggest that employers will reduce or eliminate prescription drug benefits for 3.8 million retirees when Medicare offers such coverage in 2006. And it seems the Dixie checks have been vindicated, at least in the eyes of broadcasters. Sean Ross of Edison Media Research says songs addressing the Iraqi war on the radio have shifted dramatically from endorsing it to questioning it in the last 15 months. Wayne Gilman, Air America, Radio News.
Look, kid, are you sure you want me to tattoo Air America Radio onto your forehead?
Yes, I do. Stop! Don't let this happen to you. Now you can let people know you're an Air America listener without painfully disfiguring yourself. Log on to AirAmericaRadio.com and click on our Get the Gear banner for t-shirts, hats, boxer shorts, barbecue aprons, and more.
What's that address again?
That's AirAmericaRadio.com, where the air.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
The Majority Report.
Everybody will recognize him.
You may not recognize him by his voice.
He's an activist and actor, but he's in everything. He's in K Street, Oz, every Spike Lee movie.
But you know that we're only on radio, right?
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
You know, people actually won't be able to see him.
Yes, but we do have a in-studio artist who does charcoal sketches and sends them out via fax constantly while we're doing this.
Yes, now that I know.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Hey, it's 33 past the hour. It's Wednesday, midweek. Mark Riley is here.
Good morning.
I'm Mark Maron. It's Morning Sedition. It's Air America Radio. We got the presidential pine pop.
Don't
ping
say
pong,
it.
Ping, ping,
don't,
ping.
Don't say it.
I won't say his name. I won't say that Ramon sent it to me. Here's the president's schedule for today. 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up in Wisconsin. Survey damage from last night's cheese jamboree. Pick my way through shards of cheddar to the bathroom.
Ooh.
9 a.m. Speak at Waukesha County Fairgrounds, Waukesha, Wisconsin. Have Secret Service sweep grounds for carnies. Why do they frighten me so? Note, squirt water into the clown's mouth until the balloon pops. No one leaves until I win. 12:30 p.m. Participate in Ask President Bush event. Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Remember, Karl Rove has planted the following questions. How do you keep us so safe? Were you really Reagan's favorite? How much better can this economy get? It seems so unfair. 3 p.m., ride through Wisconsin countryside. Idea, cows a source of food and milk.
Mm-hmm.
6.05 p.m., speak at Brown County Veterans Hospital. Assure them the government has no immediate plans to recall Korean War vets to Iraq, but keep your contact information up to date. Note, make sure amputees are kept in the day room. 10.40 p.m., arrive back at White House. Make sure twins haven't had another kegger. It's so hard to keep tabs on them during the campaign season. 11.15 p.m., bedtime. Think happy thoughts. September headline, ailing Cheney steps aside for Vice President Schwarzenegger. There you go. That can't happen, can it?
I don't know.
Man, how come I can't stand looking at some of these Republican mugs. You know that Bill Frist fella?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's unique in that he's thin yet has a doughy face.
The
how
valve
is that
guy.
Like Larson, our producer, is consistently doughy. But Frist just has a doughy face. I don't know what that's about.
Well, you know, maybe he's got, what is that, Botox?
I don't know. It's just like, it seems like it's just hanging there. He's all doughy in the face.
Yeah. Well, that comes from, you know, having to bend over patients all these years.
I thought you said having to bend over to be who he is in the Republican Party.
Oh, see, now there you go.
Yeah, I went the other way with that. So, clearly, our president doesn't like black people whatsoever.
Well, he doesn't have time. I mean, look, he'll jump up and say, wait a minute now, I got the Condoleezza's over here. Buster Soares is
Condoleezza is a robot, though.
Well, we got a whole thing to do about her.
Yeah, all right.
And then there's Colin Powell. You know, we have blacks in the administration.
Right.
Blacks at the top of the administration. But when it comes to the NAACP, those rabble-rousers, those radicals.
Yeah, right.
Those neo-Black Panthers.
Yeah, right.
Them.
Yeah.
He's not meeting with.
No, he doesn't have the time.
He'd rather eat cheese.
Yeah, he'd rather be in Wisconsin. With white people that like him.
That like him, yes. Yeah. And it's like yesterday, Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the there is no NAACP chapter anywhere.
Are you sure?
I don't know. How the hell should I know?
Of course there is.
Yeah,
not.
It's at somebody's house. I don't know.
We'll get an email. There is one. It's just me and this other guy.
Yeah, in downtown Marquette, perhaps.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he met with somebody there. Except everybody's at the convention in Philly.
What is that about, man? He's just, he's really shutting these guys out.
Well, see, his thing is, and he personalizes this.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he had friends in the other, you know, he had people in the NAACP who he liked, who supported him. Remember he said that yesterday?
Yes.
Well, now he's saying essentially, look, the leadership of the organization, former Congressman Kwaise Amfumi, the chairman Julian Bond, have been relentlessly critical of his administration, and therefore he sees no need to meet with or address them. Now, you can say, all right, I got a problem with the leadership. But the leadership's not the only people at the convention. This isn't being held in a room somewhere in Philly.
Right.
These are delegates from all over the country.
And they do speak for a lot of black people.
Yes, they do.
And the fact of the matter is that what he's doing in that, as you were saying before, this isn't a campaign about new ideas or a campaign of recruitment. He's playing to his base. He's trying to shore up his base. And he's basically dismissing the black vote entirely.
Because the NAACP is a moderate, and I emphasize moderate, black organization. Now, mm-hmm. You're not talking about meeting with the Panthers here, right?
Right.
This isn't a Free Mumia rally that he's being asked to address.
Yeah.
These are moderate black people. Now, the president of the NAACP, Kwaise Amfumi, says that he has tried to meet with the president to no avail, and he says that the black community must mobilize to bring out the vote this November.
And so, Mr. Bush, and to your spin masters who will spin this message, you can't avoid meetings. You think you can, and maybe you will, but you can't avoid the issues. We will be there at every polling place, in every battleground state, in every community we can get to. We will ride, we will push, we will drag, we will carry registered voters with us. We will remember.
Nice organ in the background.
Yeah,
right?
It was good, yeah. And Bush immediately called Jeb and said, can we rethink these voter rolls?
Yeah. Can we do something about that list? There must be another list.
Yeah, is there another list we can get these people on?
Well, see, this is what, and this is something that I think is important for people to realize. The NAACP is going to have to bring people out to the polls. They're going to have to carry people to the polls. There have been questions, and the Republicans raised this 4 years ago,
uh-huh.
about whether or not the NAACP violates its tax-exempt status by being, quote, partisan in mm-hmm. this way. Julian Bond, the chairman of the organization, and a longtime civil rights worker, former state senator down in Georgia.
He knows how the system works.
He knows how the system works, and he says, look, we are not partisan, but we can be critical. And he will run down a laundry list of issues on which he thinks that Bush is wrong. Now, as is usually the case when Bush is criticized, they go to the revolving sushi cart of administration appointees,
right.
And who popped up but Condoleezza Rice. What a wonderful person.
Hi, Condi, we have a black problem.
Problem, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you know, she said she's quite comfortable with the president's record on civil rights, and I maybe she said that about George Wallace back in the day, too. I don't know. But I will say this. Condoleezza Rice says... she's not speaking for black America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speaking for herself, maybe Colin Powell. I don't know. We're not sure where he stands or, for that matter, DeForest. Sorry. We're not sure where. And Rod Page, another black person in the
Bush. I think you just named all of them, right?
I think probably. And I probably have also named all the delegates to the convention.
We'll get a list of the black Republicans, too. There's seven of those.
Yes. Going on eight.
I don't know. I feel bad. I called that my producer, Larson Doey. It's meant to help. I'll explain how that works.
Call him Chewy.
I'll tell you how it works. All right. Nader made a comment about Michael Moore, and it was to help. 866-303. No, we're not calling?
No, we're not. Tease?
Okay, we'll be back in a second. This is Air America Radio.
allergies hit you where it hurts most, your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service, it's about best value, it's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Forty-four past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley. We're on Morning Sedition.
Good day.
Air America Radio. Ralph Nader was on Crossfire the other night, and Novak hit him with, I think he basically just said, didn't you call Michael Moore fat? And in an amazing bit of, like, rare Nader spin, all right, he's usually pretty straight ahead. But he goes, look, Michael used to work for us. He had a weight problem then, but now he's really blown up, and I'm reaching out. That's always a great way to reach out to people with a weight problem. Hey, fatty,
hey,
why don't you quit stuffing stuff into your face? You know what I mean?
Speaking of reaching out to Ralph Nader, do you know he's got a beef with Congressman, Black Congressman Mel Watt?
What about?
He alleges that Watt used a racist obscenity at him when he met with the Congressional Black
Caucus. Oh, that's
right. He was
talking
about
that.
June. Yeah.
It's a real beef. I mean, he's really stuck on it.
Yeah. Now, he said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, that he called, that Mel Watt called Nader an arrogant white man.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was a racist epithet that came directly behind that. I think I know which one it was.
Really?
And not just because I'm black.
Right.
Yeah. But, be that as it may, it looks like it's unresolved. I mean, Watt's not apologizing and not backing up off of whatever the beef was.
That's hilarious. It's like, you know, it's a standoff between Nader and Watt.
It's a standoff, and there are a lot of black Democrats who are really upset with Ralph Nader.
Right.
And part of that comes from the fact that they have constantly criticized him for not having a lot of black input on his staff, you know, when he ran 4 years ago. For not, you know, for kind of like taking, I guess, feeling that because he's a liberal, blacks will understand, even if they're not included.
Well, it's clear that Nader doesn't have a lot of input, period, in a certain respect. You know what I mean? It's not like he's stealing away a lot of votes. I mean, the input factor with Nader is that, you know, he's pretty dry, you know, he's pretty pragmatic, you know, and he's a straight shooter to some degree. But clearly he's got an ego, and he's got, you know, he's clearly stubborn.
What was that movie called, A Dry White Season?
Yeah,
back in the, well,
was that about South Africa?
I think so, but in this case, it might have been about his campaign.
Oh man, you heard it here first.
Yes.
Now, Barack Obama is running such an amazing campaign in Illinois that they can't get any politicians to.
Yes, he's
to
running
go
for the United States Senate, and they can't fight. Now, this
and
is
he's
a,
kicking ass.
Yeah, this is a big gig.
Yeah.
Okay, Fitzgerald, the guy who had the job before, is leaving.
Right.
Decided to retire.
Mm-hmm.
This was the seat that Carol Moseley Braun at one time held. She lost it to Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzgerald's giving it up. Now, Barack Obama, you know, after Jack Ryan went through his little problem with his Boston public wife and ex-wife, excuse me.
You know where he's been right now.
Yes, and the whole sex club thing. So they've been looking around, and all these different people have said, no, 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 no. So the one person who hasn't said no is former Chicago Bears coach and coaching legend and cigar smoker and restaurateur, Mike Ditka.
Mike Ditka, perfect for the Senate.
Archie Bunker, conservative type guy.
The good gentleman from Illinois.
Yes. The distinguished gentleman
Illinois. Give me a couple of hot points from his gentlemanly record.
Okay, well, he does have a little bit of a record. I mean, you know, he's been in football, after all.
Could you see him with Senator Warner and the rest of them and, you know, and Leahy, and, you know, just like cussing him out?
Yeah.
Spitting on the floor in the Senate. The only guy you'd get along with is Cheney. Because Cheney would be like, hey, you.
Yeah,
he'd be like,
exactly.
Yeah, you know, go yourself.
Ditka says he's very conservative. He helped introduce George W. Bush at a rally in DuPage County, Illinois, back in 2000. Held a fundraiser in 2002 for Joe Burkett,
uh-huh.
who was the GOP candidate for attorney general in the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
But his rap sheet. He was fined $20,000 for grabbing his crotch and yelling obscenities at fans. He was once accused of nailing a female fan with a wad of gum in San Francisco in 1987.
This is senatorial behavior, if I've ever heard it. I think he should just run this list as his campaign.
He was thrown out of a casino in New Orleans in 2000 after being accused of throwing a lit cigar at a pit boss after a ruling went against him at the crap tables. Now, I wonder if he ever met Bill Bennett.
I'm sure they did.
Now that I think of it. He was also...
Bill Bennett was a slot guy, though.
Like,
Bill Bennett didn't even have the nads to be a real gambler. He had to gamble like a girl.
Oh, all right, okay. With the quarters. All right.
Oh, I'm going to get mail for that.
The big problem was when the Bears went to the Super Bowl. He was convicted that year, 1985, driving under the influence after his Mercedes was stopped near O'Hare Airport.
Can I rephrase that before I get in trouble? Not like a girl, like an old lady.
There you go.
Okay.
He had just gotten back from a win in San Francisco, had booze on his breath, and was slurring his words, according to police. And you know you don't want to cross that.
I'm thinking about moving to Illinois just to vote for him, because this is something the Senate needs.
Yes. Well, he refused to breathalyze the test. And, you know, the most interesting thing about all this is Mike Ditka, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, is not registered in Illinois. But he doesn't have to be.
So maybe he doesn't have to be. Really? What is that? I didn't realize that.
He registered as a Republican in 2000 in Florida. He's got a home there. He also registered as a Republican 3 years earlier, in 1997, in New Orleans, which is where he was living when he coached the New Orleans Saints.
He's not going to do this. What is he? That'd be like a joke candidate. He's not really going to run.
He might seriously run.
Come on.
Everybody's pumping him up.
But yeah,
love him in Chicago. They won the Super Bowl 18 years ago, and they still love him.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. But, that guy can't be a senator for just the list of reasons.
You know why he can be a senator?
Why?
I hate to say it. Because he's running against a black guy.
Yeah, but
and that always gives him a fighting chance.
You know,
a white conservative guy against a black, a moderate black guy.
But listen,
black guys, who was it that ran one time? Was it Harold Washington? The white Republican that ran against Harold Washington got more votes than any white Republican in the history of the city of Chicago.
Just because he was white?
Of course.
That would be a travesty.
So Mike Ditka qualifies on that count.
I wonder where Ditka stands on gay marriage. And I think the gay marriage thing, dead or not dead, we're going to talk about it when we come back on Air America Radio.
There are patriots fighting the illegal Bush regime that you've never heard of.
Check out
TwoAngryLiberals.com for the finest collection of angry liberal t-shirts and bumper stickers on the net.
Click on
StupidGits.com for Bush news, humor, and more. That's StupidGits, that's G-I-T.com.
Visit
DoYouKnow.org for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about that bad boy George W. Bush. Are you running for office?
Check out
HelpMeGetElected.com. They can help you get elected at HelpMeGetElected.com. We're fighting the battle our elected Democrats are afraid to fight. And visit BartCop.com.
BartCop.com.
For the funniest anti-Bush invective on the net. Somebody has to fight back. We're doing it. See BartCop.com for more information. That's BartCop.com.
Do it now.
More and more people who are HIV positive are controlling the virus with medications and are living well. A new research study seeks to determine if certain drugs, still experimental, will improve HIV patients' immune systems enough to allow them to stop taking medication. I'm Dr. Kendall Smith, Chief of Immunology at the New York Weill Cornell Medical Center. Our six-month research study tests low-dose daily interleukin-2 and an HIV vaccine with a treatment interruption. People who are taking HIV medications have undetectable HIV in the blood and have at least 400 T cells are eligible to take part. If you or someone you know may be eligible, I urge you to call about enrolling in the research study. 1-800-822-2694 or log on to our website, HIVHCVtrials.net. The toll-free number is 1-800-822-2694 and the website is HIVHCVtrials.net.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
That rocks! A little mud honey for you. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Morning's edition, Air America Radio. So they couldn't get those numbers, those Republicans. Couldn't get those numbers in the Senate to play this game and, you know, meddle with the Constitution to deny people their civil rights in order to garner votes from extremists.
Well, you know, they still think they're going to garner votes from extremists. I already know that. They believe that this is a winning wedge issue for them. But it would help if they could get all the Republicans on the same page in the United States Senate. Because Republicans from certain states in this country understand very well that they could pay the price of going too far on this gay marriage. Now, some people, this is an issue that the Republicans have got a real problem with. On the one hand, there are numbers of Republicans who do oppose gay marriage.
Right.
But there are others who say, we don't need to amend the Constitution to take away someone's rights. They have a fundamental, and I think very correct, problem with the idea of amending the Constitution. They wouldn't even amend the Constitution to give women full rights.
Right.
You remember the whole battle over the Equal Rights Amendment?
Right.
Well, maybe you don't, because you were a kid then.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get the states to ratify that.
Yeah,
okay.
I think I read about it.
You may have read about it in high school when you were...
No, I know about it. The thing about this gay marriage issue is that, you know, the arguments they have, I watch Crossfire, like that's, you know, like I say that like it's like an important part of my life, but I, you know, during the week, what I do is, you know, I watch a little television, I cook myself dinner, and I think. But, you know, they're constantly saying this whole idea of, like, family responsibilities. What would you think a kid who was brought up with two gay people as opposed to a father and mother?
Heather has two mommies.
Right, yeah, but the thing is, it's like, it's got no bearing on anything. They've got no evidence of anything other than they're just, you know, baiting people who are afraid of the idea. And the woman, I can't remember her name, who was on Crossfire last night, you know, was saying, look, you know, a lot of people don't know how they feel about gay unions, you know, but that doesn't mean they're against it. It means that they're uncomfortable, they're nervous, they're afraid, it's a new thing to them. But, you know, as we evolve a social dialogue around this, you have to realize that if people are committed to each other, they love each other, they deserve the same rights that, you know, straight married people have on all levels. And as far as kids are concerned, you know, I know more kids from broken homes that are screwed up. Mm-hmm. Because of the either sublime or not so subliminal, you know, hate involved in the childhood they were brought up in, that, you know, it doesn't matter, really. Kids go to where the love is, and if it is appropriate and if it is, you know, there and nurturing, it makes no difference who brings up who.
You know, God, I was really, really lucky. I came up in a really good house, you know, not rich, not whatever, but a good house. And I was always taught to be tolerant. And particularly to be very circumspect about, you know, getting into other people's business. All the things you just said are talking about straight people's concerns. Well, if you're straight, that means this really doesn't concern you because you are not gay. So why should you care what somebody else does in their bit?
And it's also about what you're talking about with civil rights and the evolution of the cultural dialogue.
Yes.
Is that it's got to happen. There's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Grab your pens, grab your notebooks. Here we go. Here are your marching orders for today. One, hold fundraiser for Sudanese refugees because they need Botox, too.
Oh, God.
Two, make note of everything Republicans say, then take it all out of context. Three, have brief sexual fantasy about polluting the gene pool of the Bush twins. Hold on, I'm doing it. Oh, yeah. That was too male-y. Four, be sure to finally write back to all your death row pen pals or their next of kin or their celebrity confidants. Five, phrase of the day, just drop it into conversation when somebody says they're Indian. Ask, quote, is that victims of American genocide Indian or victims of British colonialism Indian? There it is. That's what you get for today. In the next hour, we've got safety. Safety and fear coming up, right?
Safety, fear, and author and columnist Joe Klein, The Dream Diary, which is about neither safety nor fear, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and the War on Brains, all coming up here on Air America Radio.
Sign. It's the banner in your Lincoln Mercury dealer's window, inviting you in right now for the best deals of the year during the one and only clearance sales event at your Lincoln Mercury dealer. Come in now for low financing or big cash back on top of your dealer's best model year-end price on every Lincoln and Mercury car, SUV, and minivan during the one and only clearance at your Lincoln Mercury dealer.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease Lozenges. Clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Ah, cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease Lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease Nasal Spray.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Iraq's interim Prime Minister Iyad Alawi is vowing to crush the terrorists responsible for a deadly car bombing in Baghdad, killing 10 people, wounding at least 40, including a U.S. soldier. Witnesses say they saw the car driving slowly in the area shortly before it exploded. Car, according to reports, contained close to 1,000 pounds of explosives. Roadside bombing went off just within the proximity of the Green Zone in central Baghdad. United States is not happy, but one of its staunchest supporters is a agreed to withdraw 43 of his peacekeeping forces from Iraq to spare the life of one of his nationals. Intense negotiations led to the agreement between the Philippines government and Iraqi insurgents. The insurgents holding the hostage released the kidnapped victim once the peacekeepers were ordered to return home. In other news, President Bush remains the target of criticism for his handling of the war in Iraq. The rampant unemployment rate in the last 4 years in the states and the precarious state of the nation's economy. Members of the nation's oldest civil rights organization, the NAACP, have their own issues with Bush, in addition to the aforementioned. The organization's leadership says Bush's civil rights record is wanting. NAACP Chair Kwesi Mfume declares Bush cannot afford to pick and choose just when he wants to meet with his all-important voting bloc.
Making a 15-minute appearance at the NAACP conference in Baltimore while running for office in 2000, or doing a 30-minute drive-by at the Urban League after he's already gotten in office, will not substitute for real dialogue.
Chair of the NAACP, Kwesi Mfume, during the organization's national convention in Philadelphia this week. John Kerry speaks to the group come tomorrow morning. U.S. military has launched a new operation in Afghanistan involving thousands of troops to protect the upcoming presidential election there. That's the word from the top American commander in the region, Lieutenant General David Barno. He said the operation, known as Lightning Resolve, contains enough offensive punch to keep militants off balance. It would include targeted intelligence-driven raids. He gave no specifics. Went on to say that a 2,000-strong Marine force, which has hammered Taliban militants in a southern stronghold since it arrived in March, is getting ready to leave the country. The remaining force of 17,000 soldiers will intensify its cooperation with the United Nations, which will help organize the October elections. Army mapmakers presented new options yesterday for Israel's West Bank barrier, moving it closer to Israel and aiming to minimize hardships for Palestinians. World Court denounced the barrier, declaring the government was responding to an Israeli court order. In another development, the opposition Labor Party of Israel approved formal talks to join Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's government, this according to a party official. Speculation has it that such an alliance would strongly boost chances of Sharon's Gaza withdrawal plan. Sharon lost his parliamentary majority over the pullout proposal. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey. Okay, keep your eyes on the road. Don't look around. Just listen. It's me, the new Ford Focus. I see what you're driving there, and I gotta tell you, you deserve better. You deserve more power. I'm talking the kind of power that throws you back in your seat. Hmm? You deserve better handling, like the European-inspired suspension that sticks to the road like duct tape. That's what I'm talking about. So, how do you get everything you deserve? Drive me, the new Ford Focus.
More power, enhanced European suspension, Consumer Guide's Best Buy 4 years in a row. The new Ford Focus. It begs to be driven.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Randy Rhodes.
When Republicans talk about Hitler, it's like they know. There was something creepy about that ad. They took it down, though. That's the point. So we made ourselves known to them.
Air America's Randy Rhodes.
I just wanted to say, you know, Republicans, you don't have to be that desperate. There are a lot of difference between Hitler and Bush, and Democrats would be the first one to admit that. For instance, Hitler was elected.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
It is Wednesday. That is true. It's a true thing. We're in the middle of the week, and I'm feeling better than I did at 6. I didn't feel bad at 6, but I felt a little not awake at 6. And I know some of you are thinking, like, Mark, you know, just get on with it. All right, I'm getting on with it. I'm just saying I feel better. I feel sad that the tiger died, but we covered that.
Yep.
Moving on. Moving on to other things. All right?
There you go.
I got a dispute over a proposed anti-war billboard that would be up in Times Square, apparently. All right?
Oh.
The billboard is 69 feet by 44 feet. It was going to have a stylized, like an old-fashioned time bomb with a fuse with the stars and stripes on it. And the message was, democracy is best taught by example, not war. Okay, it was supposed to be done by Project Billboard. All right.
Now, let me guess.
Yeah.
This has something to do with the number one billboard operator in America, which also happens to be the number one radio station operator in America.
Clear Channel, right.
Ka-ching.
Yeah, we can talk about that, right? We can? No, can't we?
Wait a minute. Are we on in Miami? Hello?
I got that.
Check, check.
But here's the hilarious thing. All right. It's a Project Billboard, a group that says it is devoted to diversity, tolerance, and free expression, says it signed a 3-month contract for the space beginning August 2nd.
Okay.
Okay. So it would be there during the convention.
Yep.
You know, good, you know, reasonable protest.
Good, clean, fun.
Clear Channel Spectacolor, which leased the space to the group, objected to the message. According to to papers filed in Manhattan federal court by Project Billboard, the contract allows Clear Channel to revoke the billboard if it is obscene, misleading or deceptive, or offensive to the moral standards of the community. So, in other words, advertising?
Wait, this is in New York.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, look, misleading or deceptive, all advertising,
yeah.
Yes, or offensive to moral standards of the community. I mean, if you're anti-advertising, that's the community. But I mean, they're basically saying that this has something to do with something other than selling a product. It is a political statement. It is a statement of not even civil disobedience, a protest against the war. It is done in a aesthetically pleasing, interesting way. It's and it should be heard. But Clear Channel says no. If you're not going to deceive the people into buying something that they probably don't need, we can't have it.
Well, you know what's going to happen now. People are now going to start looking at some of the other uses of that same billboard that they have allowed in the past. And measure that against that same standard.
And also, they said, like, there was one of the excuses they gave is that, you know, New York is not comfortable with putting a fake. It's one of those old-style kind of round bombs with the fuse on it, like you saw in cartoons.
Yeah.
You know, so it was, you know, obviously a riff.
Oh, so they're thinking like September 11th?
Yeah,
people?
So they're like, we're not really cool with the bomb thing. So then exactly. Then Project Billboard said, we'll make it a dove. You know, for peace. And they're like,
no,
we're not comfortable with that because exploding doves, the problem. You know, we can't have any exploding doves with the stars and stripes. It's just the hypocrisy of it is very interesting because this is Clear Channel, a company that claims to not have a political bias.
Yes.
They just want to give the people what they want and force it down their throat repeatedly, you know, which is how radio works on some level.
It's how radio works on most levels.
Yeah.
Except here.
Yeah, but this was these people should have been entitled to do this. They bought the billboard. They had a contract. You know, I mean, what difference does it make? They were obviously muscled because the truth of the matter is once you, as you say, Riley, once you follow the money, you know, it's going somewhere.
That's
and when
right.
you follow the money, some of it's going to Republicans, some of it's going to Democrats. So if we follow the money with Clear Channel, which we will do.
Yes, we will.
But not right now.
Soon.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. So that's the issue. Someone shut it down.
And you thought
for
it was,
very specific reasons.
You thought it was only the Dixie Chicks they had a problem with, right?
Yeah, but this is classic, you know, decent anti-war advertising.
Of course, it would offend. Look, this is New York City, okay? It's not like you're putting some nude person. This is New York. These billboards, how big was it again? 69 by 40 something?
69 feet by 44 feet. It's right on the side. It's on the side of one of the buildings. It's on the side of the Marriott Marquis. I know that's big.
Oh, I
it's
know that's huge, spot. Sure.
It's huge. It's pretty big.
We can almost see it from here.
Yeah. Don't tell them where we are, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
here we are, live from Fond du Lac.
I love being in the Empire State Building. this is the way it is that these are the same people, not Clear Channel, but people who don't want to have that dialogue. I had a peace button that I got from my uncle who it was from the, it was an old
from
peace
the original
button.
Peace movie.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. That was it. Some guy came up to me once and said, "What the hell's that?" Yeah, it's a peace button. I know. What is that? And crazy. What am I thinking? Peace. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, right.
But there was a part of me that wanted to say it's actually an original peace button. from the original peace. Exactly. So now we're going to talk about the same type of thinking, which uses the word liberal, still uses the word liberal as some sort of, negative thing.
There ought to be a cap on the use of the word liberal by Republicans.
Well, let's quote somebody. This is already up on the blog, but for people who are listening, what do our opponents mean when they apply to us the label liberal? If by liberal they mean, as they want people to believe, someone who is soft in his policies abroad, who is against local government, and who is unconcerned with the taxpayer dollar, then the record of this party and its members demonstrate that we are not that kind of liberal. But if by a liberal they mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reaction, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, their health, their housing, their schools, their jobs, their civil rights, their civil liberties, someone who believes we can break through the stalemate and suspicions that grip us in our policies abroad. If that is what they mean by a liberal, then I'm proud to say I'm a liberal. That was John F. Kennedy, September 14th, 1960, accepting the New York Liberal Party nomination.
All
and
right.
It still holds. I mean, a lot of this stuff still holds, and there's nothing wrong with being a liberal and caring people on that level. These people have, misused this word, and they're continuing to say
it. Well, yeah, and starting with our president, who is in full attack mode. He was in front of some friendly Midwest audiences yesterday and will be, I believe, today as well. He's saying that John Kerry and John Edwards are too liberal, and he mocked Kerry for saying that he shares some conservative values.
Recently, campaigning in the Midwest, he even tried to claim he was the candidate with conservative values. I know, but those were his own words. Kind of hard to square that with what he said when he said, "I'm a liberal and proud of it."
Now, when you start talking
ha,
about...
Ha, ha, ha. Listen to that horrendous, malignant laughter. Hoo, 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 ha, ha. You showed him.
It's amazing to hear this president try and catch people in contradictions when, in fact, his entire presidency has been a contradiction.
Don't even get me started, as they say when they say that. I can't believe I just said it. I feel humiliated. I humiliated myself.
No, you didn't.
No, I did. I don't ever want to say ever again, I never want to say don't get me started ever again. First of all, Joan Rivers says it. I think Winstead says it. You know what? Erase it from the record. Can we go back a minute? Can we dump that 8 seconds? I feel ashamed that I said don't get me started because it's hackneyed and it's ridiculous and it's not who I am.
Okay, stand in the corner of the room till the end of the
program. All right, you go ahead and you do it. You take us out then.
Well, I wonder how much of George W. Bush's rhetoric out there in the Midwest came from his war room, a concept, by the way, he borrowed from none other than
Bill Clinton.
He's got a war room, and they got people that sit up there and literally follow everything that John Kerry and John Edwards do. And they, come back and have some kind of talking point, or they give their conservative compadres their marching orders for the day. And we joke about having a liberal agenda. These folks really do. I mean, they sit up, and it's almost like they all have the same chip in the back of their heads.
Looking for ways to portray Kerry. It says here, that these guys sit around and they look to exploit every possible opportunity to paint Mr. Kerry as a political equivocator who switches positions on important issues when it suits the Bush political interests. Now, switching positions as a senator, when you actually have a career in politics that isn't a governor of a state with a legislature, a legislative body that is temporary, is that, you know, you have debates about legislation. That's how the democracy works.
Yep.
Is you have a bill and you go, you know what, some of this I don't like, some of that I do like. Can we have a bipartisan debate about how we can evolve this bill into something we can all agree on? So votes are taken on bills, and sometimes those things change over time and new votes are taken and it's a different bill. That's part of it. That's part of the way the process of democracy works. To accuse a senator of flip-flopping because he's changed his mind without going into detail about the details of the bill that has been voted on or changed since the first vote is to rob that guy of his standing.
Yeah.
It's deceptive, it's untruthful, and it's hypercritical, or I don't know, hyper-political, you know, in terms of it's misleading.
Well, there's a lot that's misleading about this administration. For example, when was the last time you heard Bush talk about the deficit, which has now ballooned to $326.6 billion, and that's only for the first 6 months of 9 months of 2004 budget year.
That's a new record, right? It's like the highest ever, I believe. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of those flip-flops. We're going to get into the issue of the other thing he said, that we're safer now, which we're not. And much more. We got Joe Klein, too. So stay with us on Air America Radio.
Do you ever wonder why you seem to pay more in taxes than rich people with smart accountants? Do you ask yourself, what's wrong with our tax system? Well, here's a reality check. Taxes on wages and salaries are much higher than taxes on income from investments. People who are so rich that they don't have to work pay the federal government only a sliver of their dividends and capital gains. By comparison, working people owe a much larger share of their hard-earned income in taxes. Someone who makes $50,000 from working pays more than three times the taxes of someone who makes $50,000 from investments. That is just not fair. At the Century Foundation, we have ideas for fixing the tax system so that working Americans get a fair deal. When we know the facts, we can find real solutions. Get informed. Visit the Century Foundation online at www.centuryfoundation.org. That's www.centuryfoundation.org.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Twenty past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition.
Good morning.
Good morning to you on Air America Radio. Hey, what day? Do I go to the therapist today? No, tomorrow. Tomorrow. So here's the last dream diary before I go to my therapist. Well, actually, I'll do tomorrow's as well, because this one was a good one.
Uh-oh.
I'm a termite. Actually, I'm a highly aggressive, rapidly reproducing, completely badass Formosa termite. Six legs, two antenna, one goal, to eat wood. Right now, I'm eating my way to the center of an enormous white oak tree, using my powerful jaws to fill up on delicious, succulent wood pulp. Mmm, cellulose. I've been gnawing at this tree for months. Even though I'm in total darkness, I have no idea what's in front of me, and I'm sleeping in my own poop, and it doesn't matter. A Formosa termite doesn't know the meaning of the word quit. So one day I'm chewing, and just then everything around me begins to shake. I feel the blue sky appear above me, and slowly, this towering white oak tree crashes to the ground with a huge world-shaking thud. I look up, and all around me on the stump are 100 other termites who have also been chewing on this tree for months. Jeez, all this time I thought I was alone. There is cheering, hugging, drinking of termite wine. Then we all walk to the edge of the stump and look down at the fallen tree, and it was George W. Bush. W. is lying on his side, his branches broken, the inner rot spilling out of his hollow log. He's crying, voter fraud and terror alert, and best of all, those damn termites! Some beavers came by and started stripping the bark off of Bush. One of them looked up at us and said, so how do you guys bring him down? I looked around at my termite brothers and sisters and said, we kept chewing. I woke up and my bed was filled with amber.
Ooh.
Right now, Bush's enemy, biggest enemy, reality. According to Joe Klein, he is the senior writer for Time Magazine. His column is called In the Arena. We're going to talk to Joe right now on the phone about reality and how it's impending on Bush's campaign. Good morning, Joe.
Hi, Mark.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Good. So we just got some news that the CIA has now said that the terror threat is higher than it has ever been since 9/11, yet Bush says we're safer. How does that happen?
Well, you know, I don't know how much you can trust the statements that people make about threats. I mean, you know, there's a lot of boy who cried wolf sort of, activity here. You had Ashcroft coming out in May saying that, and then you had and at that point the people I talked to in the intelligence community said that Ashcroft was just blowing smoke, and then you had Tom Ridge come out last week, and now you have this. Look, I think that there is really a threat, and I can tell you this, that the feeling in the intelligence community is that the war in Iraq has made us less safe, that it has created
right.
far more terrorists than it's gotten rid of.
Absolutely. So that's what I'm saying. So how does the president, what reality is he living in to get up there and say that we're safer than, you know, than we were before 9/11
Well, he can try.
Yeah, exactly. So
I mean, you know, it's a tough argument for him to make at this point. And he makes about two-thirds of it I was out with him on the trail last Friday, and he is a very compelling stump speaker, and when you throw the good versus evil argument out, you know, as well as he does, it sounds very convincing, but there are holes that are, you know, that are huge that you could drive several Mack trucks through in his argument. I mean, you know, undoubtedly Saddam Hussein is evil.
Right.
Was evil and needed, you know, and the world is a better place now that he's no longer in power. But you could say that about, you know, just about anybody, the rulers of Burma.
Right, but the argument to be had is that, you know, maybe the world is a better place without Saddam, but, you know, certainly what's happening in Iraq with the insurgency and the chaos that's ensuing there, you know, is also very dangerous and destabilized the region.
I don't think that's the worst thing. I mean, it's possible that, you know, that Iraq will be able to get its act together. I think that this is a very, very long shot. But I think that the most dangerous thing about this is the fact that our invasion of Iraq has sent a message to young, angry people throughout the Islamic world. I mean, it's not just Iraq. It's, you know, it's Pakistan, it's Egypt, it's
yeah.
Saudi Arabia has been destabilized. I mean, you know, one of the things that I was most worried about before the war and why I was opposed to it was that I was afraid that, number one, Iraq wasn't a country, that you had three separate ethnic groups there and religious groups who wouldn't be able to get their act together. And so far we've seen that's been a very difficult thing. But furthermore, that the region would be destabilized, and we're seeing that. I think that, you know, in some ways, the president's agenda, you know, there's there is a book coming out, mm-hmm. I think tomorrow, by an anonymous author at the CIA.
I've got a copy of that. I'm taking a look at it.
Yeah, I have a certain affinity for anonymous authors, obviously. But I think that when he says that this has made things worse, that and what he actually says is that George W. Bush has fulfilled Osama bin Laden's agenda. That he's done exactly what Osama would have wanted them to do in terms of recruiting for the bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, the book is like, it's devastating. I've just read the introduction and I was scared. You know, and he's going to be on the show next week. So this is the reality that you're talking about in your piece, I guess.
Absolutely.
That the president avoids in his presentations to the American people.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that this is what the election is going to be about. And you may have noticed that in the last week, both Kerry and Edwards, but especially John Kerry, who was really hanging back for a long time, has begun to take it to Bush on these points.
And you were pretty good, too. I watched an entire half hour on a feed at CNBC, and I thought he was a very moving orator. I was happy to see a full Kerry speech.
Well, it depends on the day.
Okay.
Joe Klein, you talk in your article about the $80 million that George W. Bush has spent this spring alone in savaging John Kerry. Is this really that out of the ordinary?
Well, I think that what's out of the ordinary, I mean, is the relentless quality to it. Obviously, nobody's ever spent $80 million before on almost exclusively negative ads. But the president has allowed his name to be attached to it. I mean, look, the Democrats are putting up a lot of negative ads as well, but they're using these so-called 527, independent activist groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, a lot of the ads that the Democrats have been putting up have been scurrilous as well. But the president, the $80 million has come from the president's campaign. Every single time he says, I'm George W. Bush and I approve this message.
Right.
And furthermore, like last week, he directly attacked John Edwards. And in normal circumstances, you have surrogates to do that sort of thing. So it's unprecedented in that way.
I think he was threatened because in a question, they mentioned that that Edwards was sexy and compelling, and I really thought that Bush had a moment there where he felt sort of put
well, that was the beginning. That was the first time I saw Kerry really strike back immediately. Bush's answer, if you remember, was Dick Cheney can be president.
Yeah.
And Kerry almost immediately said, well, that's part of the problem is that he has been president.
Beautiful. So I want to talk to you when we come back after this break about why these campaigns work, why these misleading sort of simplifying campaigns work on people. Can you address that when we come back?
Sure.
Okay,
all right.
Thanks.
Coming up more with Joe Klein. Hey, Rock, Birth of a Nation Plus, you on the phones and the war on brains. This is Air America Radio.
There are patriots fighting the illegal Bush regime that you've never heard of. For the best in anti-Bush photo tunes,
check out
liberalcartoons.com, also featuring anti-Bush bumper stickers and t-shirts.
Click on
izzygual.com for those who care enough to stick the very best. IZZYGUAAL.com.
Visit
thegoddess.org. For progressive politics with a pagan perspective, try the-goddess.org. A Republican's worst nightmare. LeftwingWackos.com, where the Grand Wazoo knows all and tells much. That's LeftwingWackos.com, also featuring great political t-shirts. We're fighting the battle our elected Democrats are afraid to fight. And visit BarkCop.com for the funniest anti-Bush invective on the net. Somebody has to fight back. We're doing it. See BarkCop.com for more information. That's BarkCop.com.
Do it now.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Violence continues to rock Iraq in spite of the recent transfer of power. Insurgents staged another powerful roadside bombing aimed at American troops in the country. 40 Iraqis were injured, including one U.S. soldier, 10 people killed. United States military will reduce its presence in Afghanistan, but has embarked on what it called a foolproof plan to ensure the integrity of the impending elections in the country in October. Don't use a government search engine if you want an objective opinion about John Kerry on any given government site. Bush administration has each site linked to a Kerry critic, staging a Republican attack on a Democratic presidential candidate. United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan issued a stern warning to the Bush White House yesterday via the BBC. The United Nations leader is calling on the U.S. to lead the fight against AIDS with the same commitment it shows in the battle against terrorism. And Bill Clinton from Harlem will soon have a Bush in his sight with plans by the president's daughter to teach at a prestigious charter school. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Students and graduates, listen up. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. That's right, more than half with the federal government's free student loan consolidation program available from Next Student. Every day, thousands take advantage of this money-saving program, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments by more than half. Call 1-800-430-NEXT, and Next Student will help you refinance your college loans and lock in on historically low federal interest rates. Right now, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. Take advantage of this free program. It's easy to apply. There's no credit check, no out-of-pocket expenses, and in as little as 5 minutes, you can find out if you're eligible for this money-saving program. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. Take advantage of this program, and you'll have loads of extra cash in your pocket. Call 1-800-430-NEXT. It's easy, it's quick, and it's free. But you gotta act now. Call Next Student today at 1-800-430-NEXT. That's 1-800-430-NEXT.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Hi, this is Al Franken. Wednesday on the Al Franken Show, the show gets political for a change. That's right, we'll be talking about politics with people who know about politics. People like David Brock from Media Matters and Larry Diamond from the Hoover Institution. So if politics, politicians, and discussions about politics are your thing, you won't want to miss this very special Al Franken Show on Air America Radio.
We're back. It's Morning's Edition. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley. You're listening to Air America Radio. On the phone with us right now, senior writer for Time Magazine. His column is called In the Arena. We have Joe Klein. So, Joe, why does it work? Is it just that people need something to believe in? Why does this oversimplification and misleading messages of political campaigns, why does it work?
Well, I think that the general reason why negative ads work is because people are willing, you know, people are happy to believe the worst about politicians.
They need to channel their hate into something.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, given the way politicians have been portrayed by, you know, people in the press over the last 20 years, 25 years, you know, obviously, you know, the folks are willing to believe the worst. They're willing to believe that all politicians are corrupt, that none of them are honorable, that they always have ulterior motives, and so on. I mean, and that's often true, but there are an awful lot of honorable politicians on both sides. I will say that I think that the negative ads aren't quite as effective as they were in the past because people have become inured to them, and they're so crude. I mean, you know, they threw $80 million at John Kerry, and he's still standing.
Well, let me ask you a question about that, because I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday who believes that there's a lot of people in this country that see people on television, like senators or congressmen, and they don't see them as senators or congressmen. They see them as part of the media, that they're that out of the loop in terms of how government really works, and that there's a sort of team element, a team spirit that isn't based on political wisdom or knowledge or issues, just winning.
Well, look, here's the deal. We have been through 40 years of unprecedented affluence. And during that time, you know, people people have lost the habits of citizenship. It's why they're not voting as much, because it never really hasn't counted for all that much over the last 40 years, because there haven't been huge issues facing the Republic. Now there are huge issues facing the Republic. Now we got, you know, we have a big question about whether or not we're going to be having a religious war for the rest of our lifetimes,
yeah,
against militant Islam. And one thing I will say, guys, is that it's going to be really sad if this becomes a debate between Michael Moore and Rush Limbaugh, because there are distortions on both sides.
Right.
And I think that the public really deserves a serious discussion of this stuff. There's an awful lot at stake. Right. And by the same token, it's time for the public to get real a little bit.
How do we get that? How do we get that discussion going? I mean, how do we provoke
Well, what we all need to do, especially guys like you and a columnist like me, is to try and be as responsible as possible. And, you know, give credit with credit where credit is due. The president isn't always wrong, and John Kerry isn't always right. And these are very, very, very complicated issues. I mean, I've always been kind of a complexity junkie, and part of what makes this so fascinating and horrifying, the situation in Iraq, is how complicated it is.
Exactly.
Joe Klein is our guest. He's senior writer for Time magazine. Joe, when we look at the upcoming Democratic and Republican conventions, which I would think under certain circumstances, certainly in the past, might have been opportunities to clarify some of these complexities.
Never. I mean, you know, these were always advertisements for the party, for each of the parties. And you know what? I think that it is unfair that the networks aren't covering these as much as they have in the past.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
I think that the public has a right to see the entire show from beginning to end. That one thing that the networks owe the public is, here are the Democrats and they're making their case. Here are the Republicans and they're making their case. We report, you decide.
Mm. But, you know, I mean, the networks seem to be saying, well, hey, the cable people, the Fox News Channel, CNBC, CNN, they all cover it, so we don't need to. We might as well put our latest beach movie or something on it.
And when the president declares war, they leave that to CNN or actually, the president never does declare war.
No, he sure doesn't.
But, you know, when the president gives the State of the Union speech, they leave that to CNN and Fox News? No. I mean, this should be a major civic event. When I was a kid, several centuries ago, you know, the political conventions were an event that the entire country watched on television. I mean, Bill
right.
Clinton remembers, that's how he got interested in politics, by watching the 1956 Democrat and Republican convention.
And when it's actually on a network, it brings a certain credibility to it. I mean, I know that's weird for me to say that network television is credible, but when it's on an NBC or a CBS, as opposed to a CNN, then, you know, more people are obviously going to think it needs
well,
to be
Well, you know, the
with.
Message that they're sending to you know, 14-year-old future Bill Clintons or John McCains or whatever, is this stuff isn't that important. You know, the latest reality show is more important.
But, you know, Joe, I mean, there were some compelling things going on in 56, 60. I was a preteen in 1964 with the whole Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. You don't get that kind of drama at political conventions anymore.
That's true, but there were also an awful lot of conventions during those years that where nothing dramatic was going on. And I think that, you know, as an act of citizenship, we owe each of these parties our undivided media attention for 3 or 4 days at the beginning of the campaign to see what they're selling.
Yeah, Joe, I want to go back to something we were talking about like the president misleading people and about, like, if he's going to say, if the intelligence community, if we can't trust the intelligence agency about threats, how can we trust the president that we're safe?
Well, you know, this is another complicated issue. The CIA director serves at the pleasure of the president, and the messages that come from the CIA are therefore, you know, slightly suspect. I think that what you've had here over the course of the last couple of years, especially since September 11th, is that a great many intelligence analysts within the intelligence community have been upset with not only the president but also with their leadership. you know, doing the sort of responding to pressure that has come from not just the president, but especially from the vice president and also from Donald Rumsfeld's counter, you know, analysis operation
right.
in the Pentagon.
Right.
And so what's happened here, and this is unprecedented, is that the Bush White House has put so much pressure on the intelligence community that it has created a product that isn't quite trustworthy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's also made the intelligence community very pissed off.
Absolutely. I mean, there is you know, you have not seen ever in the history of the CIA as much public anger at a White House as you're seeing now.
Right.
You know, the book that's being published tomorrow is you know, Imperial Hubris is a great example of that.
Right.
But you know, back during the Carter administration, the CIA was really ticked off at Carter for, you know, buying a lot of the reforms that came out of the Church Committee, which
right.
were, by the way, proper reforms. But you never heard it publicly. You never heard anybody from the CIA leaking against the Carter White House, as you do now with the Bush White House.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot for your input. And we're going to get into intelligence next week with Anonymous. And we really appreciate you being here today.
Appreciate
My
you,
pleasure.
Joe Klein, senior writer for Time Magazine. We're taking your calls, 866-303-2270. If you're a veteran or in the military and want to comment on, you know, whether or not we're safer and how you're being treated by this administration, we'd like to hear about that. We'd like your input about, you know, intelligence and, you know, how pissed off the CIA is. And obviously about anything you want to talk about. So give us a call.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Uh-huh.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Oh, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Yes, 45 past the hour. Name that tune. Name that tune, caller.
Donna Summer?
No way.
Oh, sorry.
It's one of the great records. Great records. That'll tell you right there. One of the great records. It's Mark Maron, Morning's Edition with Mark Riley, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. We're taking your calls about safety and intelligence. We're going to go down the list of how we're not safe. And we have a president telling us that we are much safer, yet we have a completely where's he getting that intelligence? If the intelligence that, you know, if it's
you
the
call
same,
it intelligence.
Yeah, exactly. Right now, I'm holding something I don't need to be holding. Which, no, not that. Here we go. Since the handover power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 17. Leaders of Iraq, yes. Hello, good morning. The Olympics are coming up, and that's good news. Uh-huh. Nothing more satisfying for a young democracy than to see a group of strapping young Iraqis marching into Olympic Stadium behind the flag we designed for you. Hey, it's not that ugly. Here's the not-so-good part. Apparently, militants ambushed the head of the Iraqi Olympic Committee with a rocket-propelled grenade yesterday. Now, the rocket-propelled grenade launch is not a recognized Olympic event. I know, too bad. Really, it is, because Iraq could definitely be in medal contention there. All right. Just to clarify, here are some recognized events. Trap and skeet shooting, yes. Shooting Western infidels, no. All right, okay, I know you're excited. Badminton, yes. Beheading, no. Yes, okay. I know what you're thinking. Badminton shouldn't be called a sport. Exactly. Okay, I understand. But we're not here to discuss that. You have so many options. Canoeing, kayaking, yachting. But there is no event called blowing up pipelines. Hey. All right. If you think there should be, go through channels, all right? Your country has just emerged from decades of brutal oppression, war, and violence, so chances are you don't have that many synchronized swimmers. I understand. But there are tons of running events, and you guys are really, really good in that department. Yeah, old school. Good luck, and God bless. This is Day 17 in Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. 1-866-303-2270.
Got some military guys on the phone.
866-303-2270. Really? Great.
Yeah.
Oh, I just, who we got? Who do we got? There we go. Ben in Georgia, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you talked about the military and how it's changed as a result of these policies in this administration. I came in under Clinton. I only have signed up for 4 years. But the intention of doing 4 years and, you know, taking advantage of the GI Bill.
Right.
And going to college.
That's why a lot of guys, yep.
Yeah, I nearly have a completed degree because of some of the things that some of the programs that we have all in the military. But recently, as a result of, you know, funding issues, they've had to cut our benefits to the extent that we're only allowed to take one class at a time. And that's a minor concern of mine. The real concern is I wanted to get out at the end of my contract, and there's a very real chance that I may be stop loss, that I may be asked to serve or told to serve past, you know, when I wanted to do it. And we take an oath of enlistment willingly, but it's supposed to be to the extent that you know of our contract. And I think it's really unfair to force this war on people who signed up, you know, to send the policies of the United States when they're doing the right thing, when we're being a beacon of hope and freedom in the world, not when we're being oppressive. That's when I signed up.
Right.
When
exactly. You signed up, yeah. You signed up with good intentions. You made a contract, and you feel that they've broken the contract to some degree, and you feel that the intentions of this war are off. And I'm sure there's a lot of guys that feel that way. And also, you know, he was accusing Kerry of this, you know, of not of voting against this.
Oh, the $87 billion, yeah.
And you know the way that fleshes out, you know, I mean, it's not. The bill that people would think, you know, the Bush camp claims Kerry opposed a list of mainstream military hardware vital to winning the war on terror. The Bush campaign bases its claim mainly on Kerry's votes against overall Pentagon money bills in 1990, 1995, 1996, but these were not votes against, you know, specific weapons, you know, and there's a lot of, it's a misrepresentation to say that, you know, that this administration, mm-hmm. Bush and Cheney, You know, at least 200,000 veterans are on a waiting list for health care. What is that about, right? An internal Bush memo obtained by the Associated Press suggests that if Bush was reelected, about $900 million in cuts were in store for veterans programs.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they had actually put that in, I think. And of course, once it was discovered, people kind of tried to back away from it.
Yeah, and they closed seven veterans hospitals. Let's talk to Marcus in Virginia. Marcus?
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Not bad.
So you're out.
I got out in 96.
Uh-huh.
And I was in there for Operation, I believe, Southern Watch. It was after Desert Storm.
Okay, yeah.
And we were at the only air base in Kuwait.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know why it's a surprise what goes on over there. Back then, the Kuwaitis even hated us.
Yeah.
Who were basically saved by us, is that it?
Yeah, I mean, I was even told by Kuwaiti guards that I worked with at the main gate that they changed their history books to read we aided them in liberating themselves from Iraq.
Huh. That's unbelievable. So how are you being treated now as a veteran?
Well, since I've been out, it took me years to get my GI Bill rolling. It took, I'm 28 now. I got out in 96, so you can do the math on that.
And it took you years to get your benefits, huh?
It took me years to get it because, there was a thing where you got to be in, you got to meet the minimum requirements, 2 years in, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and you didn't get them.
And it took them forever just to figure out how long I was in. What? And I've been waiting on DD-214 paperwork for 2 years.
Wow.
They got stolen when I got robbed, and all my personal effects got stolen, so I had to get a new one.
Yeah.
And now
you're still waiting.
It's hell trying to get a new one.
Man, I'm sorry to hear that, buddy. We got to go. I didn't mean to abruptly. He sounded pretty upset, but it just goes to show you that, you know, that it's not easy for these guys coming back, and this administration isn't making it any easier.
More stories like that.
Yeah, we'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I create a Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD.
That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Here we are at 55 past the hour, morning's edition. Mark Maron, Mark Riley.
Hey!
Air America Radio. Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mort Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Dateline, Thailand, July 14th. The War on Brains continues as the Bush administration's thrusting pincer attack against condoms makes ugly carnage onto the floor of the International AIDS Conference in Bangkok. Running into strong opposition from scientists around the world, George W. Bush's policy of just saying no to life's most basic carnal desires is condemned by delegates as a setback in global efforts to control the AIDS pandemic. Paltry, credible evidence, a dearth of reputable scientists, and even fewer instances of success are the ingredients of the hapless Bush program of abstinence, or Xanadu. Shameful, ignominious, and just plain unrealistic. Yes, it is true that long relationships based on trust and love are important, but since those things are harder to find than David Guest's real eyebrows, maybe we should all start using a Jimmy hat. And to quote Batman, played by the great Adam West, what is love anyway? A four-letter word, a noun, yesterday's laughter, tomorrow's tears. The struggle continues, freedom fighters. Read, write, sheath your tool. And that's today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Wow. Thank you, Mort. I appreciate it.
Don't even get me started.
Oh, hey! You bastards! Mort's going to get into his time machine and go back to the 30s.
Wait a minute, is Prince Bandar here?
No, we're shifting that sound.
Oh, okay.
Bandar's not in the news.
Don't even get me started.
Oh, man, cut it out, you guys.
That's the limit now. You can't do that more than two.
I said don't get me started once, and I said it by accident. And I told these guys never to let me say it again, so funny little doughboy in the...
Don't even get me started.
The consistently...
Oh, it's war now.
The consistently doughy Jonathan Larson.
Don't even get me started.
All right.
See? Go ahead.
I never wanted to say it again because it's like a Joan Rivers thing. It's a Liz Winstead thing. It's such a... it's not me.
Don't even get me started.
All right, man.
All right. You win.
Larson, you want a donut?
Don't even get me started.
Cut it out.
Oh, God. We're done now.
Oh, man.
We're going to have to start looking for two new hosts for this show. I can see it now.
Unbelievable.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Crispin Miller on Bush's big lies and how he gets away with them. Plus, Recovery Corner and the presidential palm pilot when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Get me started.
Sales like this don't happen every day, just Wednesday through Monday. It's the great paint celebration at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Save 30% on all our high-quality paints and stains, including Everclean and Super Paint Interior in our plastic twist and pour container. And save 30 to 64% on all wallpaper, too. So stop in and take advantage of the long weekend. Sale ends Monday. Ask how? Ask now. Ask Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Close July 4th.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York.
the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Great Britain admits, sort of, to an error in judgment with respect to the war in Iraq. An official British inquiry finds intelligence on Iraq seriously flawed, but says there was no evidence of deliberate distortion. The inquiry went on to say a pre-war claim that Iraq had the ability to quickly use weapons of mass destruction should not have been put forth without more evidence. It was one of the compelling reasons for war. Statement comes a year and a half after the launch of the war, 880 American soldiers lost and some 59 British soldiers killed in the conflict. More violence rocked Iraq in the last 24 hours. Roadside bombing within proximity of the Green Zone in Baghdad claimed the lives of 10 Iraqis and injured some 40 in the capital, including one U.S. soldier. Interim government has promised to crush the insurgents responsible for this morning's attack. That U.S. Marine who disappeared in Iraq and turned up in Lebanon 3 weeks later is reportedly in good health and is excited about going home. He had allegedly been kidnapped just outside of the Iraqi town of Fallujah. The abduction of Wasef Ali Hassoun remains the subject of a full-scale U.S. military investigation. It has happened again, and it will continue to happen until the U.S. government releases all Iraqi detainees. That's the demand of militants in Iraq who took the life of a Bulgarian truck driver in a beheading yesterday and threatened to take the life of another within a 24-hour period. Kidnappers are part of a terrorist organization headed by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi's operation. They had threatened to kill the driver by last Saturday if the detainees were not set free. Same group earlier claimed responsibility for beheading American businessman Nicholas Berg and a South Korean translator Kim Sun Il. A video containing the killing was not broadcast this time by Al Jazeera Television because it was too graphic in nature. Suspected Saudi Al-Qaeda militant has decided to take advantage of the Saudi government's amnesty program and abandon his ties with terrorist mastermind Osama bin Laden. Suspect is identified as Khalid Al-Harbi, who is also known as Abu Salman Al-Maki. He was once featured in a videotape with Osama bin Laden. He was reportedly holed up along the Iranian-Afghan border and had contacted the Saudi Arabian embassy in Tehran to respond to the amnesty program in Riyadh. President Bush was on the stump yesterday in a grab for more voter support, where he addressed a gathering of his Republican backers on the differences between his team and his Democratic challengers. Bush says he's on course to restoring the nation's economy in spite of rampant unemployment, job outsourcing, and other related issues under his watch. And from all indications, the problems of the 2000 presidential elections in the state of Florida could well resurface again. In spite of efforts to upgrade the voting system, report says that three-quarters of American voters will cast ballots on November 2nd using the same equipment they voted on just 4 years ago. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
More and more people who are HIV positive are controlling the virus with medications and are living well. A new research study seeks to determine if certain drugs, still experimental, will improve HIV patients' immune systems enough to allow them to stop taking medication. I'm Dr. Kendall Smith, Chief of Immunology at the New York Weill Cornell Medical Center. Our six-month research study tests low-dose daily interleukin-2 and an HIV vaccine with a treatment interruption. People who are taking HIV medications have undetectable HIV in the blood and have at least 400 T-cells are eligible to take part. If you or someone you know may be eligible, I urge you to call about enrolling in the research study, 1-800-822-2694, or log on to our website, HIVHCVtrials.net. The toll-free number is 1-800-822-2694, and the website is HIVHCVtrials.net.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, you. You know, I've been watching you, and it doesn't look like you're having a lot of fun behind the wheel. And being the all-new Ford Focus ST, I got the solution. Me. I want you to listen to this. Hear that? That's a new engine that makes me the most powerful Focus out there. With over 150 horses at my command, I'm the most powerful Focus available. And if you're a fan of the curves, you're going to love the way I handle.
New styling inside and out and a confidence-inspiring performance-tuned suspension. The all-new Ford Focus ST. It begs to be driven.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the Internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One Player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Here we go into the big last hour of Wednesday's Morning Sedition. Wednesday. I'm up now, man. I'm up. There's Mark Riley over there. Had some coffee, got the bagels going.
Yep.
I got a bagel habit. I got a poppy bagel habit. Got a lot of things coming up. Mark Crispin Miller, my old buddy's he's going to be here. I think his show's running, too. We're going to talk to him about that and talk to him about how the media manipulates our brain, propaganda and whatnot. Are we safer? Clearly not, yet Bush keeps insisting that we are. He's got Cheney out there insisting there was a connection between Iraq and al-Qaeda. And he's also got Cheney out there acting like a human, which is completely weird.
Oh, no.
Completely weird, trying to be charming and cute. And you know how he smiles? Like one side of his mouth is in a constant grimace full of hate, and the other side kind of pretends to smile. He's like the Joker. So, anyways, moving right along, I've got this guy emailed. You're right, Mark Maron. You laid it down the gauntlet. You laid it down the gauntlet this morning. I'm picking it up. I can name that tune, "Sex Beat" from "Fire of Love" by the Gun Club. A great damn record. Thank you, Doug. You're absolutely right. It is a great damn record.
Another old school guy with the record thing.
Yeah, old school kind of punk, but not. Yeah, I guess they were. They did "She's Like Heroin to Me," which was a great song. Without the Gun Club, there is no White Stripes.
What is all this dope reference stuff? What's going on here?
Remember, people used to do dope back in the day. Remember?
Well, I remember Heroin by the Velvet Underground.
But this one, like, "She's Like Heroin to Me" is one of the great, it's a seminal punk song. Yeah, you know, I guess you would call it punk. I just call it all rock and roll, man.
Oh.
Now, like, what am I now? What, a top 40 DJ?
Hey.
Speaking of rock and roll, man, because I'm a guitar player myself, and we were talking about my mom earlier. And, you know, I was being honest about my mom. I got to take a couple of hits before I get the compliment. You know, it's just the way I was brought up. Just a couple of, if you weren't with us at 6, and you should have been.
You should have been.
Talking about my mom finally listened to the show, because she can. She's listening on WINZ in Florida, our new station down there. Thank you for having us down there. And my mom listened to it, and her boyfriend, who lives with her now, the hipster boyfriend, yeah, he's always, like, he talks a jazz language. Like, I call up my mom, and it's like, "Hey," and I go, "Hey, John, how's it going?" "Great, man. Skiddy bop. How you doing?" 23 skidoo, bebop bop, a doo bop ba. And I'm like, "Did you hear the show?" He's like, "Yeah, man, it was hip, man. I heard you chirping in. It was groovy, right on." And you hear Charlie Parker in the little Miles. So my mom's not there, of course. She's out doing her fourth Pilates class of the morning and perhaps running and walking the dogs at the same time while eating Jell-O. And she's, I'm not saying anything bad about my mom. I love my mom. You know, she
eats Jell-O, man.
Dude, we don't even want to go into the eating thing, all right? Did I just say we don't even want to go? Between that and I'm not going to go there? Now, what is happening to me? Am I turning into Joan Rivers? Am I turning into, what's happening to me? Anyway, so my mom calls up. She goes, "I heard the show. What happened to the lady?" That's the first thing she says. Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Oh, the lady is now a correspondent." "Okay. What about the other guy?" "Yeah, Mark Riley. He's my co-host." "Yeah. You seem to be talking a lot." "How?" And then comes, now that I'm bleeding and I can't breathe right, she's like, I'm very proud of you. All right, thanks, Mom. I guess that's good. Boom, boom. Good job. But to my mom's credit, and I'm going to tell you this because I just got this article about this this camp in Atlanta where kids, it's like School of Rock. You can go and they teach you how to be a rock star.
Really?
Yeah.
In Atlanta?
Yeah. Like, I don't, let's see. Where
Who's
is
teaching?
It,
Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Close. The guy from 38 Special. His brother.
Okay.
The guitar player. The guitar player from 38 Special has opened this camp to teach kids how to be rock stars. And I played guitar when I was a kid. And this is a great.
God, you got to prepare to be a rock star now.
You do now. Back
wow.
in the day.
Back in the day, you just were.
You just did it.
Yeah.
I never did it. But I had a Marshall stack in my bedroom, which is two huge amps. I mean, this is, you know, these are, you know, stadium amps.
Oh, okay.
And I got it from a guy I knew in a band who owed me money, and he gave it to me. And I'm like 15
what
years old.
What did you sell him?
I was managing a band when I was 15.
Oh, okay.
A band called The Suspenders in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But I wasn't a very great guitar player, you know. So I come home once. I'm 15 years old, and I come home. I just smoked some pot with John across the street in the treehouse.
Okay.
And it was the first time my mom busted me for being high. I walk
really?
In because I didn't think she was going to be home. So this is my mom. This is great. I walk in. She goes, are you stoned? And I go, I figure I'd be honest. You know what I mean? I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I am, Mom. I'm stoned. And she goes, well, why don't you go into your room and play guitar? They say you play better when you're like that. And I'm like, I will do that, Mom. Thank you.
Wow.
What a horrendous punishment. Wow, that's right.
And she didn't even say go to your room, play guitar, and stay there.
No. She just said, I want to hear you jam.
Oh, okay.
But, of course, then it becomes, you know, you got to be careful, my mom, because I'll play some guitar. She goes, it's okay. You know, you're no Hendrix. But I think, you know, you're. Why couldn't you have gotten an A? So what do we got on the burner here, Riley?
Well, you know, we've been talking about this whole Bush, we're safer fantasy.
Uh-huh.
And it is a fantasy.
Oh, no doubt.
Even his own acting CIA director says it's a fantasy.
Dude, they're giving Kenpacks. You know, they're New York and Boston, finally now, after what? How long has it been since 9/11? Now they got the shipments of the chemical packs to treat biological warfare.
Yeah, just in time for the conventions.
That makes it creeps me out. I mean, I'm glad we're finally prepared, but, you know, boy, take your time.
Well, you know, what are they going to do with these chem packs? And what's going to happen to people in states where they're not out yet, and they hear about all these other places, and they're going to say, well, what's wrong with us? Are we chopped liver or something? When you have to do triage, you know, with an entire population of a country, it can, you know, create some unintended problems.
But on some level, we've got to be honest. I mean, this is New York City, the greatest city in the world.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, you know, and you know, they hit us here once, and so I think that, you know, we deserve more of the allocated money. Personally.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying, you know, if you live in Duluth, which is, you know, George W. was out there the other day, and he goes out there and tells everybody that, you know, he's down with them.
Right.
He's part, you know, he shares their values.
Yeah, and then he starts talking about entertainment types.
Yeah.
John Kerry's hanging around with entertainment types. Wasn't his hero, Ronald Reagan, an entertainment type?
An entertainment type, yeah. Bedtime for Bonzo entertainment type. I mean, look, the thing with...
And it is bedtime for Bonzo.
Bonzo, really. The thing with the fundraiser last Thursday, I think should have been expected by the Democrats. You know, people go off on these rants, and, you know, Whoopi Goldberg or the rest of these folks are all entitled to their opinion. Lindsey Graham shouldn't be demanding a tape for what? What, are you going to hold a congressional investigation of Whoopi Goldberg? What, are you drunk?
Dude, we're going to have a Hollywood day next Monday. We're going to have Mark Ebner in, and Jerry Stahl's going to come down and talk about his new book, Fatty. Mark Ebner, who wrote Hollywood Interrupted, which, you know, is half a great book, but, you know, we're gonna lay it out about the Hollywood types.
Oh, so we can kind of explain to people how
it all happened.
Yeah. So, you know, the Centers for Disease Control. I want to get that right because it is the Centers for Disease Control. Hope to have these allotments of these Kempax dispersed to every state in 2 years. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I've covered an awful lot of political conventions in my time, since 1976, virtually all of them.
And you never got Kempak Schwag?
No.
It's like, hey, look, it's a Democrat Kempak.
But I was at Madison Square Garden here in New York in 1980
Schwag.
When there was a bomb threat in the garden. You know, there was some rumor, or not even a rumor. It got to the point where they sealed off the garden. Nobody could come in, nobody could go out. And
wow.
I had gone out for a minute.
Yeah.
To a dive bar, which only I knew about, which was right across the street right. where they were holding
No one else was there ever. Just Mark Riley by himself.
Just with me by myself with several hoodlum friends of mine.
Yeah.
What can I tell? But, you know, it was amazing because you couldn't get back in.
Okay.
And, you know, I was, you know, Carter was getting ready to speak, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, I'm going to miss the man's speech.
Uh-huh.
And you start realizing when you have an arena full of people who are nervous, and mind you, they didn't make an announcement over the PA. Excuse me, there's a bomb. You know, mm-hmm. it kind of like spread from booth to booth, from mm-hmm. the delegation to delegation. So all of a sudden, these people are like, yeah, you're about the bomb.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we fast forward 24 years, and what have we got? A convention is going to be in the same place where people are going to have these campacks. My guess is most people aren't even going to know how to use them if, God forbid, there's some kind of a chemical attack. But all the while we're being told that the country is safer.
Yeah, and there's no indication of that. And you know what the weird thing is I realize about people is that, you know, when there's an alarm or a bomb threat or anything else, how long does it actually take you to mobilize? How many of these do you got to do? Is it real? I mean, are we supposed to leave the building? I mean, wait,
yeah.
Is that buzzer? I mean, I'm eating. Do we have to...
Well, remember something. That was one of the great tragedies of the World Trade Center attacks. There were people who were leaving and were told to go back to their desks.
Oh, man. See?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to believe it now. Just, you know, when you hear the buzzer, let's get out.
Yeah.
But we're not safer. Let's talk about it. The borders are not safer. Travelers with stolen passports are going to pass border security checks. Sometimes passports given back to the traveler. They don't, you know, a lot of times they don't check anything. The ports are not safer. Some 20,000 shipping containers arrive a day at U.S. ports with perhaps 1% inspected. That's pretty mind-blowing. Nuclear, the radioactive material thing is really scary. A recent Harvard University report says that not nearly enough is being done to keep nuclear fissile materials away from terrorists and rogue states. They can't even get a handle on this. And I think this is something Kerry's been talking about, which is to get a sort of international intelligence thing going so we can at least, you know, keep
do
an
something.
Eye on this
It would
stuff.
Make sense.
We got more proof. Dirty a bomb tackle, likely. Homeland Security funding is severely flawed. Mark Crispin Miller is going to tell us how they're trying to make us believe a lie and why we believe it. Coming up after this on Air America.
Attention, Democrats everywhere. These are extraordinary times. The Democratic National Convention is near. Fahrenheit 9/11 is everywhere. And a presidential election is upon us. The political fervor in this country has never been hotter. And now it's time to send your elected leader, George W. Bush, a clear message.
George W., you're fired!
That's right. Now you can own one of the hottest t-shirts in the land and wear your convictions right on the front of your chest. George W., you're fired. Made from 100% heavyweight cotton, all sizes available, simple yet powerful designs. Wear one of these and they'll know right where you stand. Add the bumper stickers to your order and really get the word out.
George W., you're fired!
Visit WYourFired.com and act now. That's WYourFired.com and place your order today. The hottest t-shirt in the land is ready and waiting for you at WYourFired.com.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built. with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Twenty past the hour. Hey, you know, I was talking about Clear Channel.
Before, you take it all back.
My friend Clear Channel, Uncle Clear Channel. I didn't mean to say bad things about my friend Uncle Clear Channel. Apparently, but they're not advertising us in Miami. So why don't you, there's something you can do. If you're in the Miami area, write your WINZ and say, how about giving a little advertising to the Air America cats?
Yeah.
It's Mark Riley's Morning's Edition. We're about to talk to our friend Mark Crispin Miller, who just sat down in the studio. I'll tell you who he is if you don't know in a minute, but I have some important business. My buddy Johnny, Billy, Ramon, Joe got us the presidential palm pilot. Here's the president's schedule for today, July 14th, 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up in Wisconsin. Survey damage from last night's cheese jamboree. Pick my way through shards of cheddar to the bathroom. 9 a.m. Speak at Waukesha County Fairgrounds. Waukesha, Wisconsin, have Secret Service sweet grounds for carnies. Why do they frighten me so? Note, squirt water into the clown's mouth until the balloon pops. No one leaves until I win. 12:30 p.m., participate in Ask President Bush event, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Remember, Karl Rove has planted the following questions. How do you keep us so safe? Were you really Reagan's favorite? How much better can this economy get? I mean, it seems unfair. 3 p.m., ride through Wisconsin countryside. Idea, cows as source of food and milk. 6:05 p.m., speak at Brown County Veterans Hospital. Assure them that the government has no immediate plans to recall Korean War vets to Iraq, but keep your contact information up to date. Note, make sure amputees are kept in the day room. 10:40 p.m., arrive back at White House. Make sure twins haven't had another kegger. It's so hard to keep tabs on them during the campaign season. 11:15 p.m., bedtime, think happy thoughts. September headline, ailing Cheney steps aside for Vice President Schwarzenegger. In the studio, right now, our old buddy, my old friend, professor of media studies at New York University and author of the Bush Dyslexicon and more recently, Cruel and Unusual, Bush Cheney's New World Order, which is due out in August. Mark Crispin Miller is here to deconstruct some stuff.
Now, he's also in performance. In Patriot Act, a public meditation here in New York City at the New York Theater Workshop.
How's that show going?
It's going great.
The guy does everything. I haven't been out to see it because I have to be up at 3.
Oh, sorry. You're breaking my heart.
Yeah.
Maybe I thought you were my friend.
Oh, damn. Maybe we could arrange a lunch.
Have a Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday I can come.
Okay.
I'm going to come. I'm going to come Saturday if I don't have to do my own show.
There's a matinee.
There is a matinee?
Yeah.
Oh, you're really quartering me now. What's a matinee?
I'm going to be.
So he's telling us we're safer. What is it with these guys? How does propaganda work? Can you lay it out for me specifically? Because Cheney, clearly all evidence against what he's saying, that Iraq had a connection with Al-Qaeda, outside of maybe two separate tables at a food court in Baghdad, there was no connection, right?
Right.
So the repetition of this and the repetition of that we're safer and that we're having some success in the war on terror or winning it is complete fabrication because there's no intelligence that is reliable.
I would just quibble with one word you used, and that's complete.
Yes.
It's not complete fabrication because when Cheney claims that there's a connection, he really believes it.
Okay. Oh, so you're saying that's part of it? You got to be a pathological liar?
it's complicated because you often find that the most successful propagandists are at least half convinced of their own. I can't use the word. They're half convinced of it.
Yes.
Maybe it's only for the moment that they're saying it, they believe it. Just like an actor. Right.
Right.
But there's a kind of semi-fanaticism to successful propagandists. They walk a very fine line between deliberate manipulation on the one hand, you know, calculation, and blind commitment on the other.
So this would explain a great deal about the Bush personality, because he's I don't know how, clearly, as you stated before, to call him stupid is to give him too much credit and leeway, in a way.
Well, I'd say it's dangerous.
Actually. Right, dangerous, right. But to say he's capable of being self-aware as an actor is probably a lot to ask, too. He believes what he's saying.
Well, and when he tries to act, of course, when he tries to act by saying something that deep in his heart he disapproves of, that's when he makes his hilarious mistakes.
Right.
That's when he screws up.
But when he's lying and being a bully, a lot of clarity.
Well, as long as he can play the Punisher or talk about baseball, one of those two things, he's perfectly clear. You know, and I think that's significant.
Yeah.
The show, in fact, if I could just plug it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Starts out with some stuff about his use of words and so on.
Like what? Give us a little riff.
Well, yeah, the most famous one came from the campaign trail in 2000. He was trying to evince his concern for working stiffs.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "You're working hard to put food on your family." That's a famous one. That's a golden oldie.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, he says them all the time. Anytime he has to talk idealism, altruism, empathy, can't do empathy at all.
Yeah.
Can't do contrition. Save his life.
No.
I want results in every classroom so that one single child is left behind.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I don't know who that kid would be, you know. At least it's a job, right?
The crying kid.
Yeah. Exactly. I could go on, but the point is this.
Yes.
That's only where we begin. It's really kind of a dark and hairy journey I take people on.
Uh-huh.
And it ends up being far more galvanizing, I like to think, than just funny.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. I would expect no less.
Absolutely. Mark Crispin Miller is our guest in studio, media critic extraordinaire. Do Bush and his people even have to be on the same page to pull this off? I mean, you have the acting CIA director saying that the threat level is as high as it's been since September 11th, yet Bush is telling the American people that we're safer, and it seems to resonate. How do you get through that contradiction?
Well, that's a good question, and I actually don't believe in the long run, it's good propaganda practice to have people out there saying different things. But, you know, there's really two different audiences to consider here.
Mm-hmm.
There's the base, and there's Al-Qaeda, and then there's all the rest of us, you know. The people who want to believe anything that Bush says, so they'll tolerate any contradictions he comes out with.
The desire to believe is a very strong thing, according to Ernest Becker.
Well, without that, you can't do propaganda.
Right.
Propaganda is like a minuet. It's not just you.
It's like a human, it's almost genetic, the desire to believe in something bigger than you, to be part of something.
Yeah. You know, you have a worldview. It's a place you live.
Yeah.
You inhabit it.
Yeah.
You start picking apart at the foundations. I mean, I've had people in the show, and we do a little Q&A after.
Uh-huh.
And somebody asked me if I thought the Bush regime was capable of inciting or creating some kind of terrorist incident to cancel
Northridge.
Right?
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people around. A lot of
we
people,
talk about that.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
So I you know, answer the question as fully as I can, and I said, as I always do say, I don't put anything past them. They want power. They have no intention of leaving. And a woman in the audience just shouted out, "You're anti-American." In other words, we got into it.
You know, yeah.
The president of the United States, being that man in that position, it could not possibly have such a motivation in mind. It's just, you know, that rattled her world.
Right.
So the hut she inhabits, the hut she lives in every day,
her
just had
hut.
A couple of its struts knocked out from under it, see? It's not really an easy matter to start to look into the abyss.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk more about that. That's a challenging moment when we come back from the break.
Coming up more with Mark Crispin Miller, Recovery Corner, and the Liberal Agenda. Not to mention you on the phones here on Air America Radio.
Recent medical studies have shown that users of Zyprexa may be at a higher risk for diabetes. If you have taken Zyprexa and have developed diabetes or high blood sugar, you may have important legal rights. At the Levin Law Firm in Pensacola, Florida, we don't charge a fee or costs unless we make a recovery for you. If you believe that you've been injured by Zyprexa, call our office for a free consultation at 1-800-297-1193. That's 1-800-297-1193. The pharmaceutical companies has its lawyers. Let the Levin Law Firm be yours.
Has the war in Iraq actually made us less safe? In the July issue of Mother Jones magazine, terrorism expert Peter Bergen reports that the war has fueled al-Qaeda and ignited a global jihad. Also in Mother Jones, a revealing portrait of Teresa Hines Carey. Journalist Gail Sheehy paints John Kerry's super-rich wife as charming, prickly, high-powered, unpredictable, and very conflicted. Plus, Mother Jones' third annual Diddley Awards. Mother Jones. Strange name for a magazine, but take a look. See what you think. It's on newsstands now.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Great Britain admits in an official inquiry that a pre-war claim indicating Iraq had the ability to quickly use weapons of mass destruction should not have been put forth without more evidence. It was one of the compelling reasons for war. The announcement comes after close to 1,000 U.S. and British soldiers were killed in the war in Iraq. It was yet another roadside bombing in Iraq. Scores of injuries have been reported in addition to 10 deaths. Democrats are getting ready to roll out the red carpet for party heavyweights to address the upcoming national convention in Boston. Former President Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, former Vice President Al Gore, along with veterans, minorities, and relatives of nominee apparent John Kerry, will headline the gathering. Excluded from prime time will be all of Kerry's primary and caucus rivals, including Howard Dean and Reverend Al Sharpton. And veteran New York Congressman Charles Rangel was arrested yesterday during a protest against the government of Sudan in Washington. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
So you're lying there watching your soon-to-be first baby on the ultrasound monitor, and you're thinking you really have to start saving for a bigger house and college. And college? How are you going to pay for that? And then you relax, because you're not in this alone. See, your State Farm agent will be helping with things like life insurance and college savings plans. And then the nurse says, okay, finished. And you say, no, we want to keep watching.
Start planning with the State Farm agent you know from the company you trust. State Farm, providing insurance and financial services.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
I'm a huge fan of AAR. I'm so thankful that you all are offering free speech to Americans. It's sort of like the old days of Radio Free Europe beaming into communism.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio. 866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
The election's coming up real soon, and I think the Democrats, we need to start getting a little more serious.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and our guest in studio, Mark Crispin Miller, the writer of Cruel and Unusual, Bush Cheney's New World Order.
Three marks in a room at one time.
Isn't that wild? It's going to come out in August. He also wrote the Bush Dyslexicon. He's a professor of media studies at New York University. And Patriot Act, a public meditation, an evening with media critic and political commentator Mark Crispin Miller, can be seen at the New York Theater Workshop. You can go to www.nytw.org and get tickets. So, Mark,
Yeah.
The deal is, when they come out and say these things, that like one, the world is safer, like two, there was a connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, things that have been determined to be false by very credible sources, why do people believe it?
Well, the people who have been tending to believe these guys don't do what we do. They don't read the news. They don't comb through it. And in fact, a lot of Bush's rural support, you know, it's an unacknowledged national problem, but the rural populations in this country don't really get news.
Yeah.
They get gospel music, they get some screaming heads radio, they may have a local paper, but they don't actually get any news.
Yeah. Now, some of them are weeklies too, a lot of
local news. Here's the significant thing, if I could just say this parenthetically, is that according to NPR, Bush's rural support is only half what it was 3 years ago.
Oh, that's good.
Really? What this means is, you know, it doesn't mean that they read this or that in the paper and thought, my God, this is outrageous. It rather means that they're the ones whose kids are dying in Iraq.
Right.
They're the ones who can't find work.
And
they're the ones who have no health insurance.
Within the community.
Can't declare bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, my friend Louis speculates that there are actually people out in the country, maybe a great many of them, who see congressmen, senators on television and actually think that they're just part of the media. They have no connection to the actual process of government or no education about it.
Well, we as a population have been depoliticized to an extent that would be the envy of any Pinochet or Idi Amin.
Klein thinks it's because of economic, you know, sort of like that we've had a lot of good years. I think it's the media.
Well, it is. We live in a bubble of triviality.
Right.
You have to really work to know enough to function as a proper citizen in this democracy. You know, that's the thing. We need media reform. That's a subject for other shows.
Okay.
So but,
what do you make of DeForest Buster Sorey's wanting to, because I got an email from you like a week or so ago about this this idea to create a protocol for suspending national elections against terrorists.
The word cancel came up.
Yes.
But he says, you know, we talked to him yesterday. I think we were the first to have him. And he, you know, insists that there would be no condition under which they would postpone a national election, that it's a state issue. But even that, even if there's a terrorist attack in say, New York or Los Angeles, and they have to postpone those local elections, that can be manipulated as well. What's your whole take on the whole thing?
My whole take is that they're very, very scared. Their ratings are dipping precipitously, and he's losing a lot of his natural constituents.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they've made powerful enemies in the CIA, in the military.
No kidding.
The moderate Republicans hate them with some
fiscal conservatives.
Fiscal conservatives. They got a lot of constituencies that regard them as reckless and basically deranged. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that being the case, they become more dangerous, as far as I'm concerned, not less.
Yeah. See, that's what you were talking about before. I think there's a lot of people in this country that actually entertain the idea that they are afraid that because these guys are desperate, that because the administration is desperate, they're frightened of their administration in America. And these aren't just liberals.
Absolutely. I think the criminal nature of this whole enterprise is pretty clear to a lot of people. I mean, they use force, they use smear techniques and so on. Anyway, the thing about the significance to me about this recent sort of flash of concern over terrorist attacks before the election is that it came up suddenly here and there. There was Sorey's story, which didn't get a whole lot of play. But then all of a sudden, Tom Ridge is talking about it in his press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the Department of Justice is looking into rules for what to do. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Apparently, they don't look at the Constitution, which says that this is Congress's territory.
Right.
And then, you know, CNN does a poll, approval rate 14%, 86% disapprove. All right, so they tried it as a trial balloon, and it sank. The point is that if you're going to plan to do something really outrageous, if you're going to go over the top and do something that people ordinarily would think to resist, it's always good propaganda practice to float the idea early, float it ahead of time so it's in people's minds, so that when it happens, you know, even if it didn't go over the first time,
mm-hmm.
when it happens, people will be almost half reconciled to it, or a lot of people will.
Because it's implanted.
It's sort of, they heard that already.
Right.
You know, so it can't be that outrageous. It's not unheard of. I heard of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Crispin Miller is professor of media studies at NYU and author of the Bush Dyslexicon, and more recently, Cruel and Unusual, Bush Cheney's New World Order. That is due out in August, and he is currently in performance with Patriot Act, a public meditation here in New York at the New York Theater Workshop, which is located on East 4th Street in Manhattan. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about something you said earlier in terms of why people buy into a lot of what Bush is talking about. And you said deranged earlier, and that struck me because it seems to me like people would have a hard time admitting to themselves that they voted for a deranged person. I know I would.
Okay, yeah, we'll address that. And we also take your calls, 866-303-2270 for questions for Mark Crispin Miller, 866-303-2270. We'll talk to you in a minute on Air America Radio.
If you're tired of dealing with glasses or contacts but have been concerned about the price of LASIK, now you can get the best of both worlds. That's right. TLC Laser Eye Centers is offering no payments for 12 months. That means you can have exceptional LASIK, TLC's lifetime commitment, and skilled surgeons at a price you can manage from one of the leaders in laser vision correction. More than 500,000 eyes have trusted TLC for the LASIK procedure, including thousands of eye doctors and Tiger Woods.
After 5 years and more than 35 worldwide wins, I'm still as happy as ever with my TLC Laser Eye Centers experience. I'm 20/20 with no contacts.
Yeah, that Tiger Woods. To take advantage of this limited, no-payment-for-12-month offer, call TLC at 800-300-7509. Some restrictions may apply. In fact, call today for all the details. That's 800-300-7509.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
When did we get the boss in the mix? Beautiful. That's Mark Riley. Mark Crispin Miller is here. We're taking your calls at 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. I am Mark, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I reach out to my sponsee, George W. Keep it simple. We've talked about this idea before. What does it really mean? Does keep it simple mean taking an honorable public servant's voting record full of nuanced policy decisions and reducing it to a misleading laundry list of so-called flip-flops? Does keep it simple mean assassinating the character of a man who was crafting public policy when you were drilling dry holes all over West Texas? No. No, it doesn't, George. Keep it simple means you shouldn't be taking someone else's inventory. You understand? This is recovery. You've got a warehouse full of your own issues that need tagging and stacking, my friend. Your loading dock is full, buddy. Get your ass on that forklift and get busy. All right, remember, keep the plug in the jug, bend your knees before you bend your elbow. Sorrow is looking back, worry is looking forward. You know, it's alcoholism, not alcoholism. Get to a meeting, first things first.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Mark Crispin Miller is here. We got calls. We got Mark in New Jersey listening to WLIB. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mark, that makes four of us.
Hey, is that me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
Hi.
Yeah, greetings from Asbury Park. I love to hear Bruce.
Yeah, all right.
Right on. Listen, just two things. One quick comment. I was just livid hearing George Bush get on television and say that Americans are safer when we have people in harm's way in Iraq, including family of mine. And it's just making me so upset to even, you know, think that he can stand out there and say, oh, we're safer, and particularly our boys and girls over there. It's just horrendous. But a question for you, Mr. Miller. Should, and God forbid, there be a terrorist attack before the election, do you think that this is actually going to help George Bush? Do you think that will boost the, people to come out and vote for Kerry? What's your opinion on that?
Well, thank you, Mark. It's a question we're all asking ourselves all the time. If it happened again, God forbid, as you say, would the population respond in precisely the same way? In other words, would there be a 90% rate of people sinking to their knees and regarding Bush as a reborn god?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would happen twice. There will always be people who will, out of fear, have that kind of a reaction. I have a sense, though, it's very difficult to talk in these hypothetical terms, but I have a sense that the response would be a little more complicated. You know, the trust in Bush is quite low.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost whatever luster he had as a kind of, throughout much of the country, he's lost a lot of the luster he got post 9/11. So I think people would have a complicated reaction. I think that if there were such, I'll tell you this, these people are desperately spinning the possibility of an attack so that we will all think that in the wake of such an attack, to vote against Bush is to be an appeaser like the Spaniards.
Mm-hmm.
This is something they never cease to say when they do bring up the possibility.
Right.
So if you don't want to be like Spanish and weak, you will vote for the president. Now I
but that appeasing stuff is a load of crap.
You're being reasonable. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a load of crap. I mean, the government lied to them outrageously, and they voted against the government. They acted like they should act. You know, citizens of a democracy.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it didn't interrupt the election process. We talked about stories about that because he was bringing that up. This Madrid case, they keep bringing it up as interrupting elections, which it didn't. It was a population that was against the government to begin with for being involved in Iraq, and then the government tries to blame the Basques. So they were completely disillusioned and did what they were going
to
do anyway.
You know, this gets us back to the question of how the propagandist thinks, you know, how the fanatical propagandist thinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Bush's mind, it doesn't make any difference. There weren't weapons of mass destruction there. There were. He was an enemy declared of ours. He wasn't, you know, all these reasons shift. Finally, he said outright, you know, what's the difference? He said at one point, what's the difference?
So
his staunchest supporters will also say, what's the difference? Now, I think in Bush's mind, having a terrorist attack before an election that results in a defeat for the incumbent is in his mind inseparable from a terrorist attack preventing the election.
Right.
In other words, they're both disasters.
Right.
If they lose, it's a disaster.
Period.
You
That's
see
all
saying?
He thinks about. Yeah. We're talking to Mark Crispin Miller. We're taking your calls at 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. And getting back to the point that it's all about politics. It's all about winning. It's not about the concern for the American person. It's not about any other concern than maintaining power.
If anybody has any illusions that this bunch cares one jot or tittle about any of us and our welfare, that person's living in a dream world.
Well, let's take another call. Cody in Maryland. Cody.
Hey, Cody.
How are you doing?
Hey, all right.
First time caller, long time listener. Thank you for doing the guys' good work there.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to ask the professor I got a lot of calls from friends in the last couple of days because about 2 months ago I predicted that the administration might impose martial law or something like that and suspend these elections.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was curious about was what group of people does he think is a source of strategy for this propaganda? You know, he's kind of referring to the president as being, but I think that's just maybe like a convenient shorthand. At some level, I think that some of these ideas are beyond him or,
right.
You know, or seem to be more the product of a committee than a single person.
All right, thanks for your question, Cody.
Interesting question.
Well, it is an interesting question, and this issue comes up all the time. Is Bush a figurehead who's manipulated from behind the scenes? When it comes to political hit jobs, when it comes to smears, when it comes to tactics on the stump, this president is not a figurehead. He has always had a gift for the political manipulation of his base.
Okay.
It doesn't travel. He doesn't appeal to the rest of us. The whole rest of the world detests him. I mean, they are all unified in their hatred of him and us. I mean, he's a uniter after all, I guess I could say, right?
Yes.
The fact is that what was I just saying?
You're talking about how he's not a puppet completely. That's
precisely. When it comes to the main game here,
mm-hmm.
which is basically politics, as mm-hmm. you say, he is part of an extremely like-minded group, like a pack of attack dogs.
Yes.
There is nobody behind the curtain who is detached from all this. Even a Karl Rove, who is cynical as they become, attacks from the heart. You know,
I got a question, a real quick one. How is he going to reconcile having to, at the Republican convention, project a moderate image? Because if you come, they've had at least the last two election cycles, the Republicans have tried very hard to moderate that anti-abortion, that whole, and, continuing to speak to that base.
Yeah,
how does he manage to do
kiss,
both?
Kiss the freak's ass.
Well, he's well put. He's got a tough job. I mean, that's going to be a hard thing to do because the social conservatives, you want to call them that, are going to be, clearly are already offended at their exclusion.
Yeah.
You know, they have been, look, this administration is at the service of a kind of Christo-fascist element in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been basically dictating policy, foreign and domestic. They're not about now to pretend that they're not part of the picture.
Okay, we're going to hold that thought, and we're going to talk about, I like that, Christo-fascist.
Yeah.
Know? We're going to be back with more of Mark Crispin Miller because you guys demand it. You're on the phone. Stay on the phones. Call us at 866-303-227, and we'll talk to you in a second on Air America Radio.
There are patriots fighting the illegal Bush regime that you've never heard of.
Check out
ProudLiberals.com for debate, humor, and news. That's ProudLiberals.com.
Click on
FunnyFarmOnline.org. If you want to stay sane while Bush is president, visit the Funny Farm at FunnyFarmOnline.org.
Visit
JPSalesTrading.com. When we take our country back, you'll need training programs for your new employees. Go to JPSalesTraining.com now for progressive, interactive, and great training resources.
Check out
AmazingPlanet.com, banned by eBay for hitting too close to the truth. Get your t-shirts from AmazingPlanet.com.
Click on
DoYouKnow.org for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about that bad boy, George W. Bush. DoYouKnow.org. And visit BartCop.com for the funniest anti-Bush invective on the net. Somebody has to fight back. We're doing it. See BartCop.com for more information. That's BartCop.com.
Do it now.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details.
If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
All right, we're going to try and land this thing with Mark Crispin Miller and Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley over there. It's Morning Sedition. Crypto-fascism. Crypto-fascists. You know, we have... We make an issue on this program, as I've become more evolved around Christianity, that we're not talking about all Christians here. We are talking about a very specific group.
That's right, because I'm a Christian.
That's right.
Well, we're not talking about Christianity per se at all.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we're talking about a theocratic movement. Just one quick point to dramatize the difference. There's an outfit called the Council on National Policy, which is kind of like the theocrats' big steering committee. It's got all the televangelists on it. It's got Tom DeLay on it. You know, it's quite a group. But the Reverend Sun Moon is on it.
Yes.
He doesn't believe in Christianity because he thinks he's the Messiah.
Right.
But he does believe in what he calls Godism.
Right.
Which is a theocratic order. That anyone who pushes a theocratic government on the United States is acting as a subversive.
An anti-American.
Yes. Is profoundly anti-American.
Anti-constitutional.
Because the framers separated church and state primarily to enable religious freedom. In other words, you couldn't impose one religion
right.
on people like they did up in the colonies.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So the movement for us to worry about, and I think it's got a strong arm in the White House, is the movement to desecularize the government in order to, you know, impose on everyone a certain kind of Christianity.
Yeah, that kind.
Closing thoughts from... Chris in Connecticut, listening to WLIB. We've only got a minute, Chris. What's on your mind?
Well, I keep noticing that a lot of the criticism that Bush throws at others, particularly Kerry and Edwards, are things that really apply to himself. And I wonder if it's more of a self-hatred kind of a thing, or he's just turning things around on others. Like,
yeah, you've just gotten Mark Miller excited. Let him address that because we don't have that much time. All right, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
You hit the nail right on the head. I deal with this in my book, in my show. This whole movement is based on projectivity. It's full of rage, and it's always eager to attack the other, which it claims is full of rage. You know, everything the Republicans say about the other side is true of them. They call Democrats the coalition of the wild-eyed.
Come on.
Tom DeLay accuses Ted Kennedy of hate speech. It's not even clear to what extent they're conscious that they're doing this. This projectivity is not necessarily just a tactic. There are a lot of projective people walking around.
They don't know they're doing it. They're in a certain amount of denial.
It's absolutely true. That is the mysterious motive force behind this whole movement. It's completely negative.
Great. Scary. That was a good
scary
call.
Stuff.
Thank you for all your calls. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Right now is the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. So here you go. Get your pens and your notebooks. Here are your marching orders for today. One, hold fundraiser for Sudanese refugees because they need Botox, too. Two, make note of everything Republicans say, then take it all out of context. Three, have brief sexual fantasy about polluting the gene pool of the Bush twins. Okay, I just did. Four, be sure to finally write back to all your death row pen pals or their next of kin or their celebrity confidants. Five, phrase of the day. Just drop it into conversation. When somebody says they're Indian, ask, quote, is that victims of American genocide Indian or victims of British colonialism Indian, unquote. Thank you, Mark Crispin Miller. Thank you, Mark Riley.
Great.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Are you going to take us out here, Mark?
Yes, we're going to take us out. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, Joe Lockhart, the man who faced the media every day for President Bill Clinton. That's former Clinton spokesman Joe Lockhart on tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Bye.